WTFR. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, just like every edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, is going to be very naughty. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed will contain bad language, condescension, mock value. Disclaimer. If you are a little pussy bitch, you may not want to listen to this show. Disclaimer over and out.
Welcome to Two's Company 3's Allowed with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Two's Company 3's Allowed. This is brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio, 107.9 FM in the Alpines, and of course 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York, and there's some mobile stations that like to cover the broadcast as well over there in the States. Thank you to all of those. What are your children doing? What are your children doing? Now, how many of you just heard that question and sort of thought, well, I'm not sure. Right? How many of your children are sitting on the internet without your knowledgeable way of defining what they should be watching and what they shouldn't be watching on YouTube? Right? This is why I'm, you know, my kids can sort of look at me sometimes and frown a bit because I'm really strict. Quite often, you know, especially with my daughter, you know, being young and vulnerable, I tend to always want to know what she's up to on the internet. And a lot of these parents just allow their kids to sit around on the internet all bloody day and night and not have a clue what they're doing. So what are your kids up to on the internet? Now, have you heard of Momo? You haven't? Well, allow me to enlighten you a little bit further. Momo is this, it's this little boggly-eyed creature puppet-looking thing, and it looks pretty damn creepy. And what happens is, whoever is creating these videos with that puppet Momo is basically infiltrating children's cartoons and stuff like that. Now, so little Johnny or little Susie could be sitting there watching something as innocent as Smurfs, a Smurf cartoon. I'm not talking about the 3D rendered movie that came out a couple of years ago or whenever it was. I'm talking about the old cartoons or Donald Duck and Goofy. They could be watching that, but then all of a sudden, the video stops and this Momo character, this really horrible creepazoid type puppet, comes up and starts telling kids to do something that they shouldn't. Now, this has only come to light to me recently. Thank goodness I keep an eye on what my kids are doing on the internet, because if they had, like, for instance, if they had been a lot younger and they had saw these sorts of things, I mean, you know, my son and my daughter are a lot older now, so they can sort of define what's right from wrong. But still, when they were young, especially, I'm glad that I used to keep an eye on what they were doing on the internet as much as humanly possible. And if I couldn't, then they wouldn't be able to sit on the internet. Now, here we go. This Momo character comes up and told a boy to put a little boy was sitting there watching his cartoons, and this Momo character stops the video and pops up and says, "Hey, little boy, go and grab a knife from the kitchen and put it to your neck, right? Cut your neck." This is the sort of shit we're dealing with in this day and age. These people that are doing this, you know what? I'm sick to death of hearing the whole call the police bullshit. The police do nothing. They would take this person into custody. He gets free ride in prison for a while. He gets back out and he'll go and do something else. I'm sick to hearing it. No, us people are going to deal with it. Since the cops won't deal with this sort of shit, when we get our hands on these sons of bitches, and someone's bound to leak information sooner or later. These types of people don't act alone. That there'll be some form of network in order to target white Western civilized children, right? And so this little boy put the knife to his neck and was going to do all kinds of damage. A little girl just recently, in an article that I'll be reading out in a moment, cut all of her hair off. Her mother said she had this long, beautiful hair, and she cut it all off because this Momo character came up and said, hey, you little girls need to go and cut all your hair off. Make sure it's... And this mother believes that she was... that the child has been brainwashed by this Momo character. Well, I wonder why. What were you doing, you stupid fat tard? Obviously sitting around eating another jam fucking donut instead of watching your child. And this is only a young child, ladies and gentlemen. She's only just out of toddler age. And this stupid bitch that calls herself a mother allows her child to just sit there and watch things without supervising what the child is looking at. Now, even when, right, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. No parent is perfect. You know, kids don't come with instructions. When the kid pops out, there's no instruction booklet with it, so I understand this. But it's just logic and common sense. Even when, like, my son and my daughter were watching something like The Wiggles on television, alone, let alone YouTube television, I would still be in and out to make sure that there's nothing inappropriate going on. Given that there are so many things these days that are beyond inappropriate, it's not funny. You know, when my little ones were at what, they would have probably been 6 and 10, something along those lines. I walked in and there was a cartoon on, and I'm glad I'm one of those parents that's really particular, because I'm standing there, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, hold on a second, what is this? What is this? And it was this one-eyed chick with purple hair or some shit, if I remember correctly, and she's fondling her boobs, as in, like, she's trying to fix her boobs up, and this is a cartoon that kids are watching. I went, hey, turn that off. I said, turn it off. And they quickly turned it off. They, what, Dad? I said, no, that's inappropriate. You don't be looking at that stuff. That's what a parent's supposed to do. Continuously keep tabs on what they're seeing, what they're hearing, all of that. But no, this woman says, oh, yeah, I think my daughter was brainwashed by this Momo. Well, how much fucking YouTube do you allow the child to sit there and watch unsupervised? Like, again, it's not rocket science. It's logic and common sense. You continuously keep tabs. That's what being a parent is, over and over and over again. You don't just look and say, oh, there you go, it's the Smurfs, I'll walk out. Now, how do you know that Smurfette doesn't come along and start fondling her vagina or something like that? You wouldn't know because you don't sit down and watch it. No, you've got to watch this shit. We're talking about YouTube especially. Of course, anybody can make any video they like. You know, we're not dealing with TV that comes across from a so-called proper network now. We're not talking about a network that can be held accountable. We're talking about people that can remain anonymous when they send these videos in and do whatever they want to the video. Are you fucking insane? Like, and I know there's going to be people out there that write me and say, oh yeah, but Sean, some people just don't know that. Well, they fucking best get to know it. We're in the year 2019 and you don't know what YouTube consists of yet? You must be fucking out of your mind. You have to be out of your mind to let your kids sit there and not supervise and just be in and out of the room continuously. Well, I can't watch them 24 hours. Well, no one fucking can. Then don't let them on the internet if you can't supervise. Your job is to be a fucking parent. Do you understand? Do you comprehend? Non comprehende, huh? Do you understand that as a parent, you have to be on top of shit all the time? You know, how many times do we hear of little Johnny or little Susie walking up and sticking their tongue in a power pot and brrrr, right? They're raggy dolls. They don't understand life yet. Okay? There's this little chaotic mind guiding a chaotic body. You've got to be watching that shit 24 hours a day. That poor woman that had to watch the pram run off the train track, run onto a train track because she took her eyes off just for a second. That's all it takes. And I'm not saying that you have to be every second. There's no way you can do that. Sure. But to say that this kid, that she thinks her kid, has been brainwashed by Momo. How often is this kid on the fucking YouTube? Get the child out to a park. Let him or her use some energy out there. Run around the park. Tucker them out. You know, and where they can use their little minds as well. I mean, now parks have got like these, what do you call them? Noughts and crosses, where you turn these little panels and they can play noughts and crosses, get their minds working, get their bodies working, get them tuckered out. Especially those little hyperactive ones. Trust me on that. Seriously, you've got to be watching them at all times. Let's take a look at this article just before we come to the first break there. Girl at 5 years of age cuts off her hair while watching Peppa Pig after Momo told her to do it. All right. Sam Barr, 25, has warned other parents to be vigilant after her daughter, Gemma, was targeted by the disturbing challenge. She believes Gemma has been brainwashed by the creature after the toddler told her in a chilling warning, best keep one eye open when you're sleeping. This is what this Momo character said. Now, when you see this character is going to be on the front page of my website after the show. It's going to be what, and it creeps you out just to look at it. It is a creepy character. It says, young children watching popular kids programs are being targeted by Momo, a haunting figure with bulging eyes and a demented grin, and are encouraged to harm themselves or even take their own lives. Sam from Cheltenham said, I feel like my precious little girl has been brainwashed by this sick game. Thank God she only cut her hair. It could have been much worse. Well, hey, Sam, I'm looking at your picture. You know what? You need to get out and lose some weight. So, I'm telling you, you really do need to lose some weight because, you know, your little girl mightn't have a mother in the next 20 years because, you're fat. All right? You're fat and you're gonna have a fucking heart attack. You need to lose some weight. So how about getting that little girl out there and playing with her outside, doing something that she can, where she can use energy and stuff like that, instead of allowing her to sit there behind a computer. All right? And be brainwashed by this character. How about that? And how about you start supervising her a lot more? Sam says she's haunted by what she found and added, Gemma was standing in the middle of the room with a pair of kitchen scissors by her side. There was hair everywhere. Her beautiful blonde hair had been hacked off right down to the scalp on both sides of her head. I burst into tears and felt sick to my stomach. You know what? Well, you make me feel sick to my stomach when I look at you. And you also make me feel sick to my stomach knowing that you allow this child to just freely sit there and watch YouTube without supervision. And of course, she would argue, I do supervise. But you're not supervising enough, obviously. Right? You're not keeping a close eye on her. You know, with my daughter, I am in and out all the bloody time. I don't let up. I continuously keep an eye on what's going on the screen. My son, not so much anymore because he's older and he knows better. She does as well. I mean, she's now about to turn 14. She knows as well. But the fact remains is she's still young and vulnerable. So I'm in and out. And that's what a parent does. One day she's going to be doing that for her children because she's being taught well. It says Sam initially believed an intruder had sneaked into her home and checked her household CCTV, which confirmed she and Gemma were alone in the house. Sam continued, I realized Gemma must have done this to herself. There was no other explanation. I couldn't be angry with her. She's a sweet girl who is generally very placid. She's never done anything like this before. Now, hold on a second. The reason kids grow up douchebags is because we're not angry with them. What she should have said is, why did you do this? And when the child answers, well, Momo told me to do it, you say, you do not listen to Momo. Momo is obviously dangerous and she, whatever it is bad for your health. You do not. And you've got to be firm with them. Plain. So I can't be mad at her because she's such a sweet little girl. You know what? All our little girls are sweet. Okay. All our daughters are sweet and loving and caring and everything. Our sons as well. Right? But you still got to be fucking firm, you fucking moron. Parenthood has just gone out the fucking door. Seriously, parenthood has just taken a dive, something shocking, in the name of, I'm good to my kids. You know, it's not about being good. It's about being firm. It's about making perfectly sure that they're going to grow up, firm themselves, and understand what the world is all about. That's what this is about. You know, you can be a friend to your kids. I don't disagree with that. But you've also got to be firm where you fucking need to be. Otherwise, this is what happens. Two's Company, Three's Allowed. We'll be back.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Woolly'sblog.blogspot.com. Get on over and check that out. A lot of great information. Woolly collects a lot of the different alternative show hosts' information and stuff like that. He also has some important posts that you can have a bit of a read and a few pictures here and there to take a look at. Woolly'sblog.blogspot.com.
We have reports of an outbreak of argon flu in the sector. Would all visitors please report to the medic bay for inoculation?
See this medical gear the flying doctors use? They got it from the local IGA.
The surfboards these nippers are riding? From the local IGA.
And this local school's computers. Oh no, I was just trying to say.
Even this park bench.
Because every time you buy specially marked products like this, IGA donates funds to local communities through IGA Community Chest.
And it all adds up over the years to more than $60 million.
Just coming through, it's loud. This article goes on to say, Sam, a full-time mum, she's not full-time so far, sat down with her daughter to ask her why she had cut her hair and added, "My jaw dropped when Gemma said, Momo made me do it," quote unquote. She said that Momo wants everybody to be bald and made fun of her for having long hair. And Momo threatened to hurt her if she didn't cut her hair off. Now, listen up. To those of you that have created this Momo character, whoever you may be, we will find you. Because somebody doesn't act alone on this sort of shit. Somebody's sitting back and having some form of sick shits and giggles. So sooner or later, it doesn't matter if it's months or years, something will be leaked. And when we find you, it's not going to be the police you have to worry about. See, the police will protect you, but we won't. We are going to do such a harm to you in a slow fashion, it's not funny. You want to fuck with us? That's one thing. You start fucking with our children? That's another. You fuck with our white Western civilized children? You're done. You're finished. Cops are fucking doing nothing. The councils are doing nothing. The fucking politics is doing nothing. They've proven beyond doubt that they're fucking useless. Well, this is what happens. When none of these do their fucking job and execute these pieces of shit that are doing this sort of thing to young boys and girls, we will do it. We will step in and we will fucking do it for them. Plain and simply. And I don't give a shit if I have to do some prison time for making that threat. I will do it with a fucking smile on my face. Because the cops and shit fucking won't. Have a look at the fact that when my daughter was almost kidnapped, they still haven't even found a skerrick of information because they don't care. They put it out of this paperwork and say, oh, well, he's not in the area now. Even though he's a repeat offender in the area. Okay, nothing fucking done, so I'll fucking do it. And when I end up in prison, the cops say, and the judge says, why did you kill this person? Because he tried to do something to my daughter that I don't even want to think of, Your Honor, and I do not fucking regret it. You hear that? I would do it again in a fucking heartbeat because these are my children. Fuck you. Plain and simply. This is a message going out there to every parent that should be thinking the same fucking way. This is disgusting. And I'll tell you what, I've got a clip here. Now, I'm not a huge fan of this Kevin Trudeau character, There's some things about him that just don't sit right with me, especially like not just his politics, but the fact that he tries to sell himself as if, oh, look, I know this person and that person. I know Alex Jones and I know he knows all the types of people that I could not give a flying fuck about. But he does have a few nuggets of truth once in a while. Now, if you want to know why this little girl of 5 years of age was cutting her hair off, I'll show you why. You have a listen to Kevin Trudeau. This is one of those nuggets of truth he comes out with. In between his bullshit, I cut this little piece out. You just need to have a listen to this. And this is, he's absolutely right about this, especially when it comes to the people he met. Have a listen.
The attitude of parents permeates the family. And as he was discussing this, Joe Vitale said, you know, he's got 13 kids. I said, I'm looking at the guy. He doesn't look very old. I said, my 13 kids. What's the oldest? 16. What's the youngest? 8 months. My God, 13 kids. That's amazing. He says, yeah. He says, as a matter of fact, they're here. They're going to come and sing. So 13 kids walked in. I felt like I was watching the Von Trapp Family Singers, you know, from The Sound of Music. So I get these 13 kids stroll in, and it was hysterical because, of course, the tall one was first, and then the next one was a little shorter, and the next one was a little shorter, and the next one was a little shorter. It was something out of a movie. And they all had, you know, similar colored outfits on, so it wasn't a uniform, but they looked like they were, you know, doing their thing. Mom and Dad were there, and, you know, the baby was being held in the arms. And they proceeded to sing for Joe Vitale, myself, and a bunch of other our friends. And it was just fantastic to see them sing and perform the talent that they had. But what made the evening more special was after they got through singing, you know, we all applauded. It was great. These kids, 7 years old, 9 years old, 5 years old, 16 years old, came up to me and came up to Joe and came up to the other people that were at the dining room table there in the restaurant. We were in our private dining room. But they came up to us, stood tall, shoulders back, big smile on their face, head up, and they would come up to Joe or me, and they would look you right in the eye, they put out their hand, and they'd say, hi, my name is so-and-so, very nice to meet you, Mr. Trudeau.
How often do you get to see that in young children these days? How often do you get a child that will actually walk up and shake the hand of a grown adult, looking them right in the eye and firmly giving them a handshake and saying, it's very nice to meet you, sir? How often? You don't. I certainly fucking don't, right? These kids have obviously been educated very well by their parents, where the parents have sat them down sometimes and say, no, the next time you shake a hand, You give a firm handshake, just like this, and you look that person right in the eye so that they know when you're shaking their hand, they are truly meeting you, okay? They're meeting you eye to eye, but they're meeting you as a person. You will have respect for these people, okay? These are people I know, and they're good people. You will have respect for them by giving them a firm handshake and looking them in the eye. And this is what we need to be teaching our kids. My son and daughter know it. We had the conversation just last night, and even my daughter walked up and said, no, this is how you shake a hand, Dad. Right? Okay. So, and a lot of this has been lackluster and disappearing because of these parents, like that Sam we were just reading about, allowing her kid. Oh, well, you know what? I didn't want to yell at her because she's such a sweet little child. Okay, yeah, she's a sweet little child. I'm sure she is. But she needs discipline. Otherwise, if you don't give her discipline, if you're lackluster on it, she will go back and she will watch this sort of shit again, and she will believe Momo when he says, hey, slit your throat. Plain and simply. Okay? Yeah, now this is a good clip. This is one of those nuggets of truth that come out of Trudeau.
They'd say, hi, my name is so-and-so. Very nice to meet you, Mr. Trudeau. And I'm looking at this 5-year-old or 6-year-old or 9-year-old say this. Complete confidence. Just an amazing sense of confidence, self-assuredness, self-esteem, and people skills. Perfect posture, look you right in the eye, big smile, warm, shook your hand properly. and introduce themselves. And I says, well, that was, thank you. You did a wonderful job. And they'd look right at you and go, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your comment. We're still practicing, but we're going to get better, and we're very excited about this. And how's everything with you? How is your travels, Mr. Trudeau? And they were, this is like a five-year-old.
How was your travels?
And I mean,
how was your travels? Like, here's this five-year-old, and you're expecting to ask them those questions. Like, how was your trip here? How was this? But this five-year-old comes over, looks him right in the eye. This is true and proper discipline for children, right? Looks him right. It gives me goose pimples thinking about it. He looks him right in the eye, this five-year-old, shakes his hand firmly, looks him in the eye, and then says, how was your, after he says, well, thank you for the comment, how was your travels, sir? Like, this is unheard of. This is unfucking heard of these days.
Mr. Trudeau. And they were, this is like a five-year-old. And I'm engaging him. The 16-year-old wasn't all dopey on drugs going, hi. You know, that's what the 16-year-olds in America that I met, I walk up, hey, how are you?
Yep.
Okay, I guess.
Yep. That sounds like Australia to me. You know what? I've met a lot of 16-year-olds over Australia, and unfortunately, there's only been but a few that aren't that way. They won't automatically walk over to you. Like, for instance, if I introduce my son, pardon me, to somebody, I say, okay, hey, Paddy, this is such and such this. He walks over and he shakes the person's hand and he says, oh, nice to meet you. Right? As the Aussies do. Nice to meet you. You know? And he gives him a nice firm handshake. He doesn't pussyfoot around. Nice firm handshake. And then, you're right? Same with my daughter. My daughter and I, again, we were talking about this just last night. She's like, Dad, no, this is the way you... And I said, right. Now, what happens is, these days, you just don't see it anymore. And it's because parents are now, oh, we're in a new time, Sean, where, you know, it's okay for a boy not to give a firm handshake because he might hurt his hand. Right? Like, oh, that man squeezed my hand too much, Mom. Instead of the mother saying, or the father saying, man up. That's the way you do it, son. The reason they do that is to show that you really mean the handshake, that you really do want to look them in the eye. That's what you've got to do. Your kids will get it. It's not being mean and nasty. You just got to man them up a bit and make perfectly sure that they're going to do... It's the same with girls. You know, I've had this conversation with my daughter plenty of times in the past where if she's sitting in a certain way, I say, hey, don't sit that way because you're a lady, right? And of course, when they're growing up, they're sort of like, stop harping me. But you've got to be vigilant about it. You've got to make perfectly sure that you bring them up correctly. Plain and simple, you've got to be a fucking parent.
Okay, I guess. I'm like, are you retarded? Are you on drugs? Are you brain dead? Did you not have enough oxygen to the brain as a fetus? What's going on with you? Okay, so these kids were the exact opposite. They had conversations. They were sweet to each other, smiling, talking to everybody, perfect manners, perfect skills. But they were bright. They were alert. They were lucid. They could have a conversation with you. They knew how to construct a sentence. They actually could construct a grammatically correct sentence and verbalize it as opposed to text it.
Verbalize it as opposed to text it. I like that. And I won't continue the clip just yet because we're about to come up to a break, but I will continue it after the break. You're especially going to like how this dude, within his nugget of truth, sort of breaks down as to why they are intelligent. Why do they have the firm handshake? Why do they look you in the eye? Why are they verbally great? Why are they bright? Why are they just fantastic children? He asks the parents a few questions that I think we should really start understanding. We need to employ the way the parents of these 13 children are running their lives. And I'll say it again. No one's perfect. Children aren't born with instructions. but we can change the way we're doing things when we realize we're doing it wrong. More to come.
What do you mean that there's Negroes running around the streets? I've never seen them before. Pass me that grey poupon.
The reason you've never seen them before is because you've never had to live in those neighbourhoods, sir.
Oh, don't be so ridiculous. I've travelled the world, I tell you. And on every tour I've ever been on, I've never ever seen a violent Negro.
You are listening to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, a.k.a. TCTA. You can find this show live every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. here in Australia, which is 10 p.m. over there in the United States, EST. So grab your favourite beverage, pull up a pew, and get ready for some racist radio. TCTAUnleashed.com.
Need to open our eyes. There's over 2 million illegal immigrants bedding down in this state tonight. This state spent $3 billion last year on services for those people who had no right to be here in the first place. $3 billion. $400 million just to lock up a bunch of illegal immigrant criminals who only got into this country because the fucking INS decided it's not worth the effort to screen for convicted felons. Who gives a shit? Our government doesn't give a shit. Our border policy is a joke. So is anybody surprised that south of the border they're laughing at us? Laughing at our laws?
Yeah.
Every night, thousands of these parasites stream across the border like some fucking pinata exploding. Don't laugh. There's nothing funny going on here.
Coming in threes allowed, yeah. Playing this clip here at the present time, where Kevin Trudeau, again, I don't totally trust this guy, and I'm sure that those that listen to my broadcast understand why if they've heard Kevin. But he does squeeze out some nuggets of truth behind that ego and everything like that. And again, look, don't get me wrong, I'm not against ego. I think you just need to know when to let it off the leash. But when it's just this like, oh yeah, I know Alex Jones, so I'm all cool and hip, and I'm this person, I'm that person, because I know that person and this person, you know, it's going a bit stupid. There's no need to be letting that sort of ego off the leash. Ego's meant to be there for battle, plain and simply, whether it be verbal battle, mental battle, or physical battle. You know, it's related to testosterone in many fashions. So, you know, you've just got to know when to let your ego off the leash. Otherwise, it's a total put-off. And that's why I don't listen to this guy very often. But it was in the chat room, and I thought, well, I'm not sure if it was... It might have been Shield Maiden that put it in there and said, you might want to look at this. Or maybe even in Skype, I can't remember. But throughout the week, it was there. So I thought, I'll take a listen. And I do listen to as much as I possibly can. I just don't always have the time to do it. Obviously, I came about across this snippet, and I took it out and thought... Oh, excuse me. I thought, no, he's right on this. He's absolutely right. And we're soon to hear him break down as to why these 13 children that these two parents have are such darlings compared to so many children out there that are just chaotic in thought and fucked up to the point where I'm not talking, you've got two types of hyperactivity. You've got hyperactivity that can be controlled to a certain degree, and if you know how to use the hyperactive child's energy, they can be directed in a positive way. But then you've got chaotic hyperactivity, where a parent just has no fucking clue what to do and just lets the child run amok. Or even, they might not physically let them run amok, but they'll let them mentally run amok. you know, if you get to know a hyperactive child, as I've had to, you know, with my daughter, when she was a little girl, she'd be lying in bed, and you knew that she wasn't sleeping. You could hear her, she's either singing or something like that, and well, she's gotten out of bed and she's playing with the dollies and stuff like that. So you really have to know how to use their energy through the throughout the day, even into after they've had their dinner and all of that. You've got to know how to use their mental energy. Well, this is not going on anymore. There's no discipline. There's no understanding of how this works for a lot of adults. And I don't totally blame them full on. Like this Sam girl that we were just reading about. Sure, I'm angry at her because she should better know better. But I don't totally discount the idea that she can't relearn the way she's doing things. All right? And I can't totally blame her. As people are talking about in the chat room at the present time, you know, there's vaccines going on. There was somebody over at Red Ice talking about how this could be a cyclical thing, that the IQ is being lowered, so on and so forth. So there's many aspects we need to look into to sort of understand this. But in the meantime, we have to first admit to ourselves that we're doing something wrong, whether we be parents or whether we be non-parents. And then only then, once we can visit the fact that we're doing something wrong, can we rectify the problem? Can we find some resolve? Let's continue this clip.
It was unbelievable to see. And as these kids left, I'm starting to talk to the NFL football player on the Super Bowl team, the San Francisco 49ers. I said, what I just witnessed there was absolutely stunning and amazing. I've never seen this in America. I have seen it in European countries and around the world, but very rarely in America do you see children who are this bright, this alert, lucid. They can talk. They know how to have a conversation. They look you in the eye. They know how to shake hands properly. They have confidence and self-esteem. You don't see this in the kids in America. They're all a bunch of absolute dopes. Dopey, drugged up. Brain dead, playing video games nonstop, frying their brains. That's what you see in America. So I asked this NFL player about his kids. I said, I'm going to be a psychic right now, Bruce. I said, I'm going to be psychic. I'm going to throw out a couple things because I'm psychic, and tell me if I'm right. Number one, those kids have never been vaccinated. He says, not a one of them. We don't believe in vaccinations.
Oh,
bet you they've never been sick either.
Nope. Hold on, Kevin. Hold on. Just calm down. Now, remember, I've never been vaccinated. And whether you find that what I'm about to say is a bragging point or it's me letting the ego off the leash, that's up to you, but I'm not trying to do that. I'll tell you, I've never been vaccinated. I've got friends that have never vaccinated their children, especially the homeschooling communities that I know. Never been vaccinated. And guess what? Every one of us are intelligent. You can take it as I'm trying to brag when I say, yes, I know I am intelligent. That's up to you. All I'm doing is acknowledging a fact. I'm not stupid. You don't help create radio stations and create your own radio station unless you are an intelligent motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And I know some people will write to me and say, oh, you're so intelligent, you use bad language. Guess what? Most of the intelligent people on this earth with very high IQs use bad language because they realize it's fucking irrelevant. Okay? Plain and simply. Read Henry Hitchens' The Language Wars, for starters. Okay? Seriously. We are intelligent people, especially those of us that are hyperactive. We're told that we have to pop a pill in our mouths. I'll tell you why that is. It's because they know that when you're hyperactive, you are intelligent. They can't have you too intelligent. They've got to dumb you down in some way, shape, or form. So they pop a pill in your mouth. What was it that Tim Robbins said? He's sick to death of these teachers that say you just need to pop a pill in somebody's mouth. In fact, let me have a quick look as to whether I've still got that clip because it's damn well important. See, a lot of people won't listen to kooky old Shawnee, but They do listen to their actors and stuff like that. Let's have a look. All right. It's never there. Whenever you want something, it's never fucking there. All right. But what I'll do is between the next break, if some of you can remind me in the chat room because I've got so much to cover, I want to play that Tim Robbins clip where he says that I'm sick to death of these people just popping a pill in a kid's mouth because he happens to be hyperactive or something. See, these parents no longer understand how to use the mental and verbal energies of the child, have the conversation with them. Do you know, even just having good conversation with them and asking them questions? See, they throw questions at you because their mind is saying more input. I need more input. I need more input. If I don't get input, I don't understand why this works. You know, when the 2-year-old, 3-year-olds start going through that, Dad, why this? Dad, why that? Dad, and it might drive you crazy. Start asking them questions. Hey, why is that flower yellow? And they sort of stop and they look. And right as they're looking, that mental energy is being active. And they're sitting there going, oh, they're using mental energy here. And they're going, hey, why is that yellow? I don't know, Dad. Why is that yellow? Maybe it's because of this. Why is that bee on that flower? Oh, well, because the bees like the flowers. See, all of this is mental energy. You've got to know how to do it. But we're not being allowed to do it anymore. We'd rather just pop a pill in their mouths and say, oh, look, he wouldn't sit still in school. I wouldn't sit still in school either. It's fucking boring. It's as boring as fuck. You know, I would rather watch paint dry than have to sit in school. It's not stimulating. There's nothing good about it as far as I'm concerned. You know, once upon a time, school taught our children how to learn. Now they're telling them what to learn. Oh, you'll never be a rocket science, little Johnny, because you sat back and spit bubbles up on the roof. Well, you know what? When I first ever had to do a speech up in front of a classroom in high school, I sucked. I did a speech, for crying out loud, on cats and dogs because I really didn't know a hell of a lot more than that. We lived out in a country town. My mother had 13 cats at the time. And it's really all I specialized in. There was no other intelligent stimulation around me. Perhaps besides when my brother would take me up the forest and we'd make these different cubby houses with logs, small logs. But other than that, there was not a hell of a lot of it. You know, the town was full of fucking idiots. I didn't know it at the time because I was one of those fucking idiots. There was no intelligence stimulation. I was one of them. So what happens is when I broke away and I did this speech and everything in high school and everyone laughed at me and they thought it was fun. That, oh, look at that Sean. There's that dunk off Sean. Rah, rah, rah. But who's created the radio station? You know, who's helped Jimmy X over there in the States with his radio station? Or the professional radio station he works in. Who's the Dunkoff? You know, and I've met some of my friends that were in high school at the time, and I look at them and I go, yeah, you were one of the dudes that laughed at me. But, you know, I've been to the States twice. I'm possibly, within the next couple of years, going to Ireland, possibly going to the States again this year. And you've done what exactly? And they look at you like you've got three fucking heads. You know, yes, we're intelligent, and intelligent people often are hyperactives. It's not that they're spaz or anything like that. It's that they are, the hyperactivity usually comes from their intelligence. They need more to do, so they're always going. You know, they're sitting at the back of a classroom, 1 + 1 = 2. 3 + 3 = 6. Okay, it's probably good in this day and age to know your times tables, but we can teach them that as parents at home. To this day, there's a times table sitting right beside my loo, my toilet. That's so my daughter can sit there and learn her times tables. You really don't need a teacher to teach a child mathematics. Now, if it comes to rocket science type mathematics, you can teach them that too. It's just we're being told we can't. We're continuously being told that. And in some ways, we can't these days because they've made perfectly sure that they've shut down the idea of a parent being at home. They've made feminism and its shitty movement came out and said, oh, the women can go out and work too, the women can go. And what's it done for the economy? It's done fucking nothing. The economy's worse than it's ever been before. And what's it done for a household? It's done nothing. In fact, it's become detrimental to the household because there's not a parent home for the child. These are our children, but our schools and after school care are bringing them up. We're not. You know, there should always be one parent home looking after that child, but not anymore. They've shut that shit down and made sure it's perfectly hard to do so because they don't want you to have influence over your children. They want them to just become the drooling fucking slaves that we now see as this Trudeau's talking about when it comes to the 16-year-olds. Yeah, 16-year-olds sitting there going, how you going, mate? How you doing? rather than someone walking up and shaking your fucking hand in a proper fucking fashion. Come on. This world needs to wake the fuck up. Two's Company 3's Lab. We'll be back. Leave no stone unturned. Leave your fears behind. And try to take the path less traveled by. That first step you take. Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroy information, and religion destroys spirituality. Michael Ulner. Dark black raven in a cypress tree, in the dead of the night, just looking at me, makes you wonder if he's got it out for you. Cause your heart starts pumping and your hands go blue. But this woman said she could make me a star by drinking what she had in her mason jar. Back in 1973, Dr. William Pierce was talking about the downfall of our planet and politics. I wasn't even born then, I was born in 75. If you want to know what's going on in the world today, then by all means, get on over at 8 o'clock PM EST for the United States, which is 12 o'clock AEST over here in Australia. Get over to tctaunleashed.com.
German mercenaries that the British banksters were paying to quell the rebellion of us patriots, and they lost, and we formed our country, and we're still the same rabble-rousers, some of us. It was only 1-3% that took active participation in the first revolution, and it's going to be the same thing in the second revolution. And we're not we are not the revolutionaries. We're not the ones overthrowing our constitution. We're trying to stop the revolutionaries. We're the counter-revolution.
Yeah, we just heard from Paulie DePetty there. Lead singer of Poker Face. Pokerface.com, get on over and buy yourself an album. By all means. He's also a dear friend of mine. I stayed with him and his family whilst I was over there in the United States in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, good on you, Sean. I do want to try one of those Philly cheesesteaks without the cheese. I know, some people say, well, that defeats the purpose. Well, I can't eat cheese, it clogs me up. But I'll take it with the steak. Now, here's the thing. By the way, Paulie was mentioned. Paulie and Pokerface were mentioned on what the Americans call the Colbert Report. It's meant to be some well-known show over there of some talk show host, and he ended up getting mentioned. I'll play that later tonight, in fact. But thank you to Maiden in the chat room for being on top of things, and she got me the Tim Robbins clip. I'll play that after the rest of this clip here. Playing a clip with Kevin Trudeau. And he's talking about what kids are like today. As soon as I can unpause it.
Number one, those kids have never been vaccinated. He says, not a one of them. We don't believe in vaccinations. Bet you they've never been sick either. Nope. No sickness. Okay? I said, they don't go to public school, do they? No, they don't. I go, I bet you they're homeschooled. He goes, they are homeschooled. Okay? I said they don't eat at fast food restaurants. I bet you they don't eat at McDonald's or Pizza Hut or Taco Bell. Nope, never have. We don't. We cook at home. Everything's fresh and organic right off the farm. I said okay. I said I bet you don't even own a TV. He says, oh, we have a TV, but it's not hooked up to DirecTV or cable or anything. We watch TV because of a VCR, and we'll buy certain things and we'll watch it as a family.
There we go. I love that. We'll watch it as a family. One of the things that is very profound when I have visitors sometimes is that my kids and I have to sit in the same room and eat. I don't like that my daughter goes off and eats there and my son goes off and eats here. And it happens occasionally. There's no doubt about it. But on the most part, I'm like, hey, come in here. We're going to sit down and watch something of my choosing. And we're going to eat just as we did last night. I cooked up some bangers and mash, right, with a nice gravy over the top. And we sat down in the same room. We must sit in the same room. It's important to be family. That's something that, again, not rocket science. It's very easy to understand that if you're going to be a family, you have to act like a family. And that means eating together, looking each other in the eye and talking about certain things, and or watching something together and discussing that, what it is we're watching and why. I have been going on for some bicycle rides of late, and I've been doing a lot of filming. I'm encoding one as we speak. And what happens is, like, and I get out and camp and stuff like that. And what happens is I come back and I show the kids these things, like certain things I want to show them out in the wilderness, and because they're not with me predominantly. So I want to show them this stuff and we discuss it accordingly. Okay. This is what you need to do. You need to remain as family-like as you possibly can, because the breakdown in family is what they've been looking for a long time, so that they can take over the bringing up your children for you rather than you bringing them up. Take a look at the Rockefeller Education Board that actually said, we will do what the parents of their children don't do. We will bring them up the way we still see fit. They will not. Now, and this was clearly on the record as to for the Rockefellers saying this. So what we need to do is take back our children and start saying, no, we've got to be as family as we possibly can. So yeah, when he's actually saying here that, let's do this again. Hold on.
We have a TV, but it's not hooked up to, you know, DirecTV or cable or anything. We watch TV because of a VCR, and we'll buy certain things, and we'll watch it as a family.
Watch it as a family. Now, what is it I said? I've said so many times on the broadcast, and I think this is important for every one of you. I really do. Every one of you that are parents. Not even. You don't even need to be a parent, but you can know other parents, and you can educate them. Right? Is that I unhooked the TV. The TV is not, I haven't watched, well, I have watched television at other people's houses where I can't really tell that person to turn the television off in their own household. Okay, that's their kingdom. So I do see things in passing per se. But in this household, there's no television except for the DVD purposes. Meaning I don't have that network shit hooked up like Prime and Wynn and all of that other Southern Cross or whatever it's called. All of that horse shit that contains Gaze of Our Lives and Home in a Gay and Ellen DeGenerate and all of this really disgusting programming that just does not need to be going into the minds of my children. What they do with their mothers, I cannot control. But here, I don't allow that brainwashing bullshit, that brain dirtying bullshit, I should say, because it's really not washing your brain, as Beattie says. It's dirtying your brain. I don't allow it to go into their heads. But I do say, all right, here's some DVDs. Let's sit down and watch this. And often, I'll pick stuff to pieces right in front of them to the point where it'll drive the kids nuts. And they'll go, Dad, just let us watch the movie. And I can't help myself. Sometimes I've got to sit there and just say, look, I'm picking it to pieces. I'll tell you why. Because this shit is going into your mind. And I need you to know about this part. So you might have a really good movie, but you still got to be careful in what parts of the movie are good and what parts aren't. For instance, you know, one of my favorite films is A Prayer for the Dying with Mickey Rourke and Liam Neeson. And you know, I could easily sit my kids down to see it, but there are certain parts in it that are very propaganda-like when it comes to the understanding of the IRA and what the IRA once were compared to what they are now. You know, for my kids, to give you an example, for my kids to understand A Prayer for the Dying, I would first have them watch The Wind That Shakes the Barley to understand what the IRA once really stood for. They stood for not being invaded by the Queen. They did not want to become a part of the UK. So I would have to sit them down to The Wind That Shakes the Barley, and only then could they possibly comprehend the good and the bad in A Prayer for the Dying. All right? So, with that said, let's continue the clip.
But no, They don't know any television shows. They don't watch the news. Okay. I said, I bet you they don't play video games. Nope. They don't. They do not. I said, I bet you they don't have cell phones and text. Nope. They do not. I bet you they don't have Facebook accounts and they're not on the computer. Nope. We have a family computer, but you have to have a reason to go on it. And for these kids, there's almost never a reason to go on it. What does this tell you, folks? This tells you that what's happening in America. I said, oh, also, I bet you don't give them drugs for anything at all. Nope, never have, never will. Can you see what the government is doing to your kids?
Must Hear Radio is next. This is the Kevin Trudeau Show.
Yeah, but it's not really. Yeah, so what happens is, there you go. Yeah, what is happening to your kids? What are these ass fuckers doing to our children? These motherfucking assholes telling us that TV is great for them and that computer gaming full time is great for them. Look, I'm all for everything in moderation. Okay? I was just saying to the kids yesterday, I agree on so many levels when somebody says that, like we just had recently somebody make a comment in the comments area, and I discussed it on last week's show, about how you have to do everything in moderation. We are in a technocracy. We are in the middle of a technocracy, and of course, the kids being brought up in schools are going to be a part of it. But you've got to help your kids develop a way not to abuse the situation. For instance, my kids last night had, and I'm not trying to justify my behaviors. Hey, I still wish that my kids weren't playing computer games as much as what they do. No doubt about it. I can't even sit down that long and do that. Holy shit. So what I do is I get them out. For instance, today after the broadcast, we've got to rush off to a barbecue. All right? And that's the reason being is because I want them to get out more. And I said to them, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to go out camping. These are the sorts of things you've got to do as a parent. To teach them that there's more to life than just sitting around indoors and, as this bloke said, frying your brain for this long on computer games. You know, let's get out. Let's do some cooking around a campfire. Let's cook some Marlowe's. Let's make this a fucking Manhattan camp out. You know what I'm saying? And really get them their creative juices flowing. Get their mental abilities, pardon me, outside of the computer and outside of television, outside of DVDs even. As much as I like to watch a DVD here and there, you've got to get them out doing other things. Plain and simply. Look, survival skills. Teach them what you can about surviving whilst you're out camping and say, look, if you ever end up in this predicament, what you're going to need to do is this to be able to start a fire. If you don't have a lighter or if you don't have a packet of matches, there's other ways you can go about it. And these things are everlasting. I remember when my brother-in-law, when he first ever took me out hunting, one of the things he said was, hey, Sean, guess what? If you don't have to necessarily rely upon the gun because a gun can run out of ammo. There's other ways you can hunt. And he taught me how to do things like fishing and stuff like that. I knew how to fish roughly, but he gave me some other hints. Yabbying, going out for yabbies. For those of you Americans that don't know what a yabby is, just type in Y-A-B-B-Y. I think you call them like crawfish or something like that. Although I think that's more related to the crayfish. Well, a yabby's like a miniature crayfish, crawfish that you can find in dams. These are the things that have been everlasting in my mind. I look back and I remember the day he told me, this is what you can do to go yabbing. You know, these are things that your children will hold on to for the rest of their days and they'll pass it down. Our governments don't give a fuck anymore to tell you that, if we need to know about all of their bullshit politics and we need to know about home and a gay and gays of our lives and this sort of TV brainwashing is okay, brain dirtying is okay. Fuck them. It's time we become the parent again. Heading into the top of the second hour. No, 7.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Her only novel, Wuthering Heights, published a year before her death in 1848 at the age of 30, stands as perhaps the most intensely original work in the English language. In it, Emily Bronte records the story of the passionate love between Catherine Earnshaw and the wild Heathcliff, with such truth, imagination and emotional intensity that A Plain Tale of the Yorkshire Moors acquires the depth and simplicity of ancient tragedy. Anybody who has read Wuthering Heights, written by Emily Bronte, knows full well that Heathcliff comes across as a Spanish wild gypsy boy. So why on earth was there a black playing the part of Heathcliff in the latest film? WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Top of the second hour, WTFR, TCTA, 107.9 FM in the Alpines of the Victorian area. And of course, 1650 AM, Tunnel 1 in New York, and some mobile stations around the states. Thank you all for carrying the show. I do appreciate it. Marlowe's. We've had a question in the chat room at the last minute for me because I had to rush off to the loo very quickly. The beautiful Shield Maiden is asking what a Marlowe is. That actually comes from your neck of the woods. I learnt the term Marlowe, which is a marshmallow, you know, where you roast marshmallows over the fire and I love them. I learnt the term Marlowe from a movie called The Sandlot Kids. And I think it was The Sandlot Kids, I'm pretty sure. So I'm pretty sure it was the little fat kid in there that they said, oh, you roast the Marlowe, rah, rah. Yeah, it was. Sandlot Kids was one of my favourite films. It was just that the days of our innocence. It really indicated the days of our innocence when we were all kids and we would be out there over here in Australia playing cricket with each other in the backyard, you know, dusty old track, and we're hitting the cricket ball and trying to throw the cricket ball at the wickets, and you when you were young over there in the States, you were playing out there playing ball, you know, hitting the baseball and stuff like that. So that for me was a time of innocence. So I to this day I still watch the Sandlot Kids once in a while, and you know, sitting around as young lads with your other friends and roasting the Marlowe's. That's where I got that saying. So it's actually from your neck of the woods, Shield Maiden. Shame, shame, shame. She didn't know that. Yep. Everyone make perfectly sure in the comments section, you just say shame, shame, shame on Shield Maiden for not knowing one of her own, very own terms. Although, she's got that hint of southern accent. So it's probably more along the lines of, hey there, I need a Marlowe. Got to give him shit. Anyway, so what happens is I just played a clip with Kevin Trudeau talking about what kids once were and what they could be compared to what we see now as a whole, in general. And it's pretty disgusting. Like, if you listen to what Trudeau just said then, and then you think of, you know, most of your neighbour's kids, you realise just how fucked up shit really has become. There's no doubt about it. Now, Maiden got the clip I was looking for me, and that's the... where did I put that? Here we go. That's the Tim Robbins clip talking about... Now, Tim Robbins is the lead actor in... or one of the lead actors in The Shawshank Redemption, written by Stephen King. Great book, great movie. I always do the book thing first because the books are always better. So sure, most of the movies do come out and you know, they're pretty good, but a movie just can't do what a book can. You use your imagination, and your imagination's always better than what you see on film, far as I'm concerned. There's only been a couple of films that I thought came out better than the book. And one of the things that friends ask me a lot is this. What did you think of the films when it comes to Lord of the Rings? And I was like, nah, fuck that. I read all three books of the Lord of the Rings. And I loved them. Absolutely loved them. It was my kind of almost Dungeons and Dragons slash just alternative fantasy plus Tolkien, you can tell, knew exactly what's going on and where the world is going when it comes to the all-seeing eye, Big Brother, and all of that. He knew exactly what was going on. That's what why those books were written. It was just a fantasy way of explaining it, okay? But on the same token, there's also some esoteric stuff in the books that lead back to unleashing the mind. Our minds were much more powerful at one stage. Anyway, I digress. I want to get to this Tim Robbins thing. So you know, like I always say, not many people want to hear it from kooky old Sean. Oh, Sean's our local conspiracy nutcase, rah, rah, rah. But then when their stars start saying something like this, they start going, oh, maybe there's more truth to what he's saying than we think. This is Tim Robbins from The Shawshank Redemption.
And the big problem I have is when they medicate teenagers and children. Oftentimes at the request of the expert opinion of some fucking teacher that is having a hard time with a creative child, essentially. And my fear there is we're medicating all of the future artists and rock and rollers, and you're not going to see that burning rage that you need to see in art. It's just going to be medicated. Now, when you medicate a kid through those years, that kid's not learning how to deal with depression or anger. The discomfort that the child's depression and anger brings the parent or the teacher, the idea that they would medicate him, it's really a selfish thing. It's really the teacher's problem and the parent's problem. So what they wind up doing is medicating these kids. And then the kids find their way, of course, like other teenagers, into self-medication along with that medication. And that's a recipe for disaster. And all these shooters in Columbine, and they Kip Kinkle up in Oregon, and that kid down south were all on antidepressants throughout their teenage years. And what happened was, they got to a point where the rage just blew. You kids got a lot of energy. Find something to do with the energy. Get off your ass, mom, dad, and do something, rather than just put a pill into their mouth.
Absolutely.
And here's my second one.
Show us this pill. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
She's taking a second pill.
I swish it around in my mouth so I wouldn't feel a thing.
So the poor kid, it's the poor girl's as dumb as shit because the parents have made perfectly sure they just pop this pill in the kid's mouth. And just to dumb it the fuck down because she dares to think for herself or she moves around too much or something like, oh no, she moves around too... You know... One of the things I said to my mother, I said, look, Brian was telling me, and Brian's my brother, my biological brother, and I said, look, one of the things Brian was telling me was I was hyperactive, and she said, hyperactive, you were a terror. You wouldn't stop. You would go, 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 and you would not stop. I said, how do you deal with it? She goes, well, the way any parent deals with it, I try to occupy you as much as possible. And that's what you need to do. You need to occupy these kids, but not just occupy them in the way of trying, oh, shove them in front of a fucking television. You need to say, see, that's a cop out. You're not even a parent there, but at that point, you've just divorced your parental responsibilities when you put them in front of the television, because a parental responsibility is to occupy their minds, get them, again, their creative juices flowing so that you can say, hey, why is that bee landing on that flower? Look at that. There's a plane in the air. How does that plane stay in the air? See, a lot of parents still think that when there's a child's 3 or 4, that they're stupid. They are raggy dolls because they're chaotic. They're raggy dolls in the way that they're chaotic. They will stick their tongue on a PowerPoint just to see what happens. You know, they're silly. But the thing is, you ask them questions and they will start using their mind to answer it. Even if they answer it with a dumb fucking answer, they still have to rack their brain. They still had to rack that little mind and say, how do I answer this? You know? So when you say, how did that plane stay in the air? And then little Johnny or little Susie look up and go, well, I think it stays in the air because It's got wings and it flaps those wings. And you might think that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But you know what? It took little Johnny or little Susie to sit there and think of that shit. So don't just let them ask you questions. You become the two-year-old for a while, where you say, where little Johnny's going, what about this? What about that? How does this work? Right? That's when you've got to go, okay, what about this? But what about that? What about that and this and this and that and this? And try and stay on top of them almost like you're in a competition. Their little minds have to work to do that. Even if they don't understand it and they're going to come out with a dumb answer, they have to rack their brains. I don't know why a plane stays in the air, but by God, they're going to think hard about it. I guarantee you when they go to bed at night and they wake up in the morning and they're playing with their little toy plane, they're going to go, wait a second, how does that stay in the air? It's just the way they work. Kids are, they're sponges. They soak shit up as much as they possibly can. They're parrots as well, so be careful. Because if you actually say, yes, you're absolutely right, they flap their wings, that kid's going to go to school that day and say to all his friends, guess what? The planes flap their wings because Dad said yes when I answered the question. So be careful of that as well. You just got to ask them questions, and when they get it wrong, say, no, actually, this is the way it works. I'll put it in layman terms for you at the moment, but this is the way it sort of works. That's what you've got to be doing with your kids. I really want to get to this Mel Gibson thing. Mel Gibson exposes Hollywood. This was from the last day's news, January 24, 2018. Now, you know I've spoken about child sacrifice in the past, especially I did some talks about it back on Oracle, the days of Oracle and Orion, and I've spoken about it a little recently here on WTFR. Well, I really want to put this out there again because the people I talk to are down the street, they really have no fucking clue what's going on. They think it's just kookiness. But when somebody like a star like Mel Gibson comes out and says it, right? Of course, he lost some credibility because he dared to say anything about the Jews, and most people out there are brain dirtied into thinking that Jews is all warm and fluffy. But on the other hand, he's still a star. He's not stupid. He didn't get where he was because he was stupid. This article says Mel Gibson exposes Hollywood as the hub of satanic child sacrifice. Quote, are you so blind that you do not recognize the acceleration of sin among you? Murderers abound, thievery, all manner of carnage, destruction of young souls, abortion, homosexuality, condemned from the beginning of time by the Eternal Father. Yet sin has become a way of life. Sin is condoned now, even unto the highest judge of your land and your lands throughout the world. As you have sown, so shall you reap. Sin is death, not only of the spirit, but of the body. Wars are a punishment for man's sin, his greed, his avarice. Now, Our Lady of the Roses, August 14, 1981, is where that came from. Now, you keep in mind while I'm reading this that Mel Gibson's father was very well aware of the Jew concept, okay? The Jewish question, so to speak. I don't think it's a question anymore. That's why I tend not to call it that. Most people are getting to know what they're about. This is written by David Martin. Hollywood studios are drenched in the blood of innocent children, quote unquote, according to Mel Gibson, who claims the consumption of baby blood is so popular in Hollywood that it basically operates as a currency of its own. In a shocking expose, the famed movie producer has blown the whistle on the epidemic of parasites, quote-unquote, who control Hollywood, quote-unquote, stating that every studio in Hollywood is bought and paid for with the blood of innocent children. Gibson appeared on the Graham Norton show on the BBC in November, and he shocked guests backstage about the true nature of Hollywood elites whose dark deeds he has been witness to. He spoke of these agents who are the enemy of mankind, continually acting contrary to our best interests and breaking every God-given taboo known to man, including the sanctity of children. He said that babies are their premium brand of high-grade caviar, cocaine, diamond, steak. Did you hear that? He said that babies are their premium brand of high-grade caviar, cocaine, diamond, steak. Now, the first quote that I read from the Our Lady of the Roses, August 14, 1981, you don't necessarily have to be religious to understand that. Whilst the religious will take it in the way of sin, you can just take it in the way of fucking murdering pieces of shit. They call it sin. They call what they're doing is sin. I call it murdering pieces of shit. Molesting, murdering, raping pieces of shit. All right? So you don't necessarily have to take it as a religious thing. Mel Gibson is religious. I am not. So what he says, I can understand, but I understand it in a different light. That's all. Much more to come. Don't touch that dial.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Radio X with your host, Jimmy X, 6 p.m. for the United States, and of course 10 a.m. for here in Australia, 7 days a week. If you haven't heard of Radio X before, then you need to get on over to tctaunleashed.com, that's tctaunleashed.com, and have a bit of a listen. Otherwise, you're missing out. tctaunleashed.com. In the 12 years of its existence, the League of Empire Loyalists became almost a national institution. Expounding a dynamic creed of patriotism, it attracted a modest but worldwide following, and its peak managed to force its way into the headlines of the world's press with demonstrations more original and attractive than those of any other organisation of the time, an achievement which has not been matched since.
Getting back to this article here, it says this is talking about Mel Gibson and when it comes to child sacrifice and all of that in Hollywood. It says he was speaking of the Satanists in the movie industry who harvest the blood of children and who eat their flesh. According to Gibson, they are using and abusing kids. They churn through a huge amount of kids every year. Their spiritual beliefs, if you can call them that, direct them to harvest the energy of the kids. They feast on this stuff and they thrive on it. The producer points out, this isn't anything new. If you do some research, you will see a metaphysical, alchemical phenomenon, and you will find it behind the scenes in all the dark eras in history. It's a dark, multidimensional occult art and practice used by secret societies in the last few hundred years for social programming and mind control, and raised to a zenith by Hollywood in America in our era. The secret society referred to this the secret society referred to is the Illuminati, the globalist cabal. Now, Mel isn't saying this, the author is. The globalist cabal, which controls our media of communication. Their objective from the beginning is to instigate revolt against the institutionalized church and submerge the nations under a communistic one-world government and religion. Part of the ritual of this satanic one-world religion is pedophilia, which is promoted by homosexualities and which ties with the cannibalism it leads to. According to Gibson, quote, Hollywood is an institutionalized pedophile ring, close quote. But for some children, it is but a stepping stone to be drawn fully into satanic covens where they are sacrificed. This is where many of the missing children have disappeared to. Now, if you remember, during Halloween last year, or it was either last year or the year before, I can't remember, but there was a gentleman that was speaking about how in Halloween you've got to be very careful to watch your children. They kidnap children off the streets because that date has some relation to their satanic values. So they come out on Halloween, they kidnap the children that are looking for candy, looking for lollies, and they chuck them in the vans and they take them and then they bring them up as their own. And then when they're ready, they sacrifice them. And he said that he had to play a part in the sacrifice. Now, last week when I was talking about that Jewish girl that came on to Oprah, right? I played a clip with Oprah interviewing this Jewish girl that said, my family is a satanic family and I had to take part in these ritualistic killings of young baby sacrifice. Absolutely horrific. Absolutely terrifying to think that there would be any type of creature, whether it be humanoid or otherwise, that would do such a thing. See, a lion does not kill to sacrifice because of some sick fucking stained soul within their mind and body. It will kill to eat. But, you know, when it comes to humanoids that have a thought in their brain and can make choices that would actually go out and do this, horrific and terrifying ain't the word. Now, a lot of people thought that Mel sort of shut his mouth after he, you know, when he went on his drunken tirade and he said, you know what, the Jews are the cause of all the wars. The world has been after him something shocking. Even me, I must admit, I think he copped out. I think he has the millions to protect himself. He has the millions to make a movie about this and expose what's going on, as Corey Feldman is trying to do when it comes to the pedophilia rings within Hollywood. Corey Feldman, as far as I know, is still trying to work up the money to be able to make a movie about what these pedophiles are doing in Hollywood. And at least he's trying. At least he's getting out there and talking about it. Mel sort of shut his mouth to a certain degree, but he hasn't totally shut up as people often think. He's had a lot to say, and I want to get to playing some of these clips. He doesn't go into great detail as to who these people are, because he knows if he does, one, he'll either end up dead, or two, his career will take a dive, and it won't be because of the people in Hollywood. It'll be because of the people that are his audience. You see, the audience has become so dumbed down to think that Jews are all warm and fluffy. For hell, these days you could probably believe for a bee's dick moment that people would be okay with Satanism. That's how sick the world has become. You know, where they're saying now that it's not pedophilia, it's pedosexuality, and it should be allowed because this pedophile's that kind of pedophile, and that pedophile's that kind of pedophile. This is the one you should look out for, but this pedophile's okay. No, pedophilia is not okay. And since the world is starting to think that the dumbed down masses, the people that can't think for themselves, are starting to think that pedophilia is okay, what's to say that they're not going to say, oh, well, you know what, babies need to be sacrificed? It's that fucking ridiculous. You know, 10 years ago, there's no fucking way I could have said that, you know, I would believe for a second that pedophilia would be accepted. But now it is. It's becoming accepted. I was reading a Woman's Day magazine, and they said it's a pedosexuality. It's not a not pedophilia. And so what's so hard to believe that one day people might just come to the acceptance that's okay, yes, you know, we breed babies for certain sacrifices because certain spiritualities need that, you know. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, and how sad it is that I can even say that. How sad it is that I can come to the idea that, yes, possibly someday Satanism and baby sacrifice might be accepted. Oh, fuck. Let's have a listen to Mel. This is I cut up an interview. He did this huge interview with a gentleman. And he's talking about how Hollyweird is really Hollyweird, and he talks about different things. This first part is about Mel talking about a producer he knows in Hollywood that, let's just leave it up to Mel to explain what this producer thinks of women.
Women, you know. There's a producer I know, successful producer. I will not mention names, but his whole opinion about women on film from beginning to end is very brief. He says, women on film, either naked or dead. Both is better.
Mm.
And it's like, whoa, mm-hmm. ooh. the man has got a spiritual malady for a start. Mm-hmm. I mean, the scary thing is that I think a lot of people think that.
Mm.
Maybe not to that extreme. Mm. There are people, well-meaning people, that, and you find that the woman and the woman's role in a film becomes some sort of just appendage to the man.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why they're not too fulfilled in doing that.
You're here, basically, right? You live here.
Most of the time, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, really. I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I integrated.
Yeah.
So he's integrated. He's become a part of Hollywood. He admits to living there. But he's obviously very well versed through his mind's articulation of what's going on around him in Hollywood. And it's just, quite frankly, goddamn creepy. The second part is where he's talking about how all of this is somewhat based on money. Let's have a listen to that one.
I mean, obviously, it's pretty much based on money, the system here.
It is.
Yeah.
The system is completely based on money.
Yeah.
The studio system.
Yeah.
To a degree, I think the way I hook into the system is based on money.
Yeah.
So the way he's hooking into the system is based on money. On the same token, he knows the corruption that surrounds the whole system being based on money. Now, this next part is really important to listen to. So, buckle down in the chat room and listen for a moment, okay? The Schelter contract that a lot of people don't understand. This is important to understand. And it's not just Mel that's saying this. It's the gentleman that's interviewing him that understands the Schelter contract as well, of course. Have a listen to this.
Somebody once said my problem was I didn't understand the social contract. Here. I now understand what that means.
Yeah.
Do you understand it?
The Schelter contract? Yeah. I think I do.
Yeah. What is it for you?
The social contract. You can't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get mad. You can't let it get you. Because you have to make a deal with everyone else, and it's almost unspoken, that you are going to be fucked over at some point by people who you may have done something nice for.
Mm.
And it may happen that by circumstance, or even very purposefully, that you fuck someone over. But that shouldn't get in the way of you being able to sit down and have fun with them. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely.
You can't build a resentment about it. Mm. You have to still try and love those people.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they're thinking.
Because it ain't personal.
No, it's not personal. They don't really mean to hurt you.
No.
See, I don't totally agree with him there. I think they do mean to hurt you. But just to speak in relation to what he's saying here, it's like this small town. I was just talking to a neighbour of mine but a few days ago about how there's almost something unspoken that goes on here. And that unspoken is this. When I say something to somebody in this town, I fully expect it to end up from one side of the town to the other like that. And anything I say, I have to make perfectly sure that I want the town to know it. But this is unspoken about. Everybody knows it's happening, right? Everybody knows that if you say something on this side of town today, by tomorrow it's going to be over the other side of town and it has ended up through Chinese whispers, right? So, and by Chinese whispers, you know what it's like. You're sitting around with a group of 12 people, 10 to 12 people, and you whisper something in someone's ear, and by the time it gets to the other side of the table, it's a totally different message. So, but it's unspoken about. Like, we all know what's going on. In this town, you make perfectly sure that if you don't want it known, don't say it to anybody else. Keep it in your family, keep it with you, right? More importantly, keep it with you. If you don't want somebody to know it, just keep it in your mind. Because tomorrow, otherwise, it's going to be up there. So I only say things that I want people to know. Even my enemies. If I find out that one of my enemies has said something, I'll deliberately say it to somebody down the street, knowing full well that my enemy will know about it tomorrow. And that's the way you've got to talk about things here in Myrtleford. However, on the same token, it's not spoken about. Like, sure, I spoke about it with my neighbour because I'm outspoken. I said, you know what? This is what's going on. You can't say shit around this town without somebody knowing. But it's not that shits me, because I only say what I need them to know. It's the Chinese whisper that shits me, because people start making up shit about you. You know, I'm a freely confessed racist. So because I'm a freely confessed racist, they'll deliberately make shit up or they'll misconstrue something. And then next thing you know, you've got someone in your face saying, I heard that you're a woman hater. And then I've got to go, no, I'm not a fucking woman hater. I don't like the feminist, but I love the feminine. You know what I mean? That's the thing that shits me. You know, once my kids are older, I'm fucking out of this town. I'm telling you right now. It's fucking disgraceful. The people here, on the most part, not everybody, of course, but the people here are ambitionless. They've got no ambition. They're shitless layabouts with no fucking ambition about them. Just gossipers. More to come. If you have not yet read a Candor magazine, ladies and gentlemen, get on over to candor.org.uk and grab yourself a copy. They don't cost much and they're worth their weight in gold. They've got huge amounts of information when it comes to the League of Empire Loyalists, among many other things when it comes to everything white.
Alone by a seashore at the end of day, gazes the horizon where the sea winds in his face. Tempest tossed silent, seasons all the same. Anchorage painted and a ship without a name.
Ah, the flowers are out.
Global warming.
The bees are pollinating.
Global warming.
The clouds are out.
Global warming.
The snow's melting.
Global warming.
It's warming up.
Global warming.
The polar bears, they have to swim further.
It's global warming, Dad, gosh!
Victorian firefighters are battling a number of out-of-control bushfires burning in the Bunyip State Park and further east at Dargo. Hot weather conditions are contributing to unpredictable fire behaviour, emergency officials said, causing the flames to spread in many directions. There are three main blazes in the Bunyip State Park, two in the north of the park and another in the south. Don't leave it too late to get out, if you have to, ladies and gentlemen. You can always get another house, but you can't get another life. Get out now.
Painted a picture of a day gone past, an ancient scripture, a house of glass.
People, Chinese whiskers are absolutely racist. They infiltrated my tongue when I was trying to say it. Try and say Chinese whispers three times fast. It's not easy. Oh, yeah, there's always a critic. Motherfuckers. Now, I'm playing a clip with Mel Gibson talking about the holy weirdness that goes on in Hollywood. And he's discussing with the interviewer about how you can't let it go to heart because these people don't necessarily want to hurt you. No, I would say that there's more that do that don't want to hurt you in Hollywood. Even if it's not directly, it could be indirectly, but the thing is that I think they want to harm you. I think he knows that too, but he's just sort of, he's I don't know, could you call it playing the gauntlet? Let's have a listen.
Am I on the right track?
Absolutely.
You can't build a resentment about it. Mm. You have to still try and love those people.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they're thinking.
Because it ain't personal.
No, it's not personal. They don't really mean to hurt you.
No.
Not really. I don't quite understand. Well, I mean, there's a lot of motivations for why it sure happens. Yes, many.
I mean, money will make you do stuff as well, won't it? I mean,
yes.
One, them, us,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, well, whoever.
Yeah. If there's many millions riding on a decision, it's hard to be philosophical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very hard. Very hard to be, you know. You have to choose what level of integrity you're coming in at. And
okay.
And I've often felt it. I've sat there and I have felt the knife slipped firmly in between my shoulder blades and tried to have it shoved through the other side through my heart. And I've actually felt the whole thing, and I've gone, ah! Wait till next week, you know? Or I'll think, you fucking... And you'll resent it for a little while, then you have to let it go. Otherwise, you'll eat yourself alive here. And I think it takes that kind of cockroach resilience to survive in this town. I mean, this is a bizarre place. And it doesn't take very long. And I'm sure you've experienced this if you've stayed here for any length of time. You come in, you're fresh from the outside, you're off the boat from the farm, still got shit on your shoes, you're in here, people are charmed by that, that you've still got shit on your shoes. They're charmed by the fresh approach you bring to it, and that's a real thing. But they're also stroking the shit out of you, you know, licking you all over. And that's kind of good for you, too.
That's great.
But it doesn't take very long before you realize, or before it gets to you. It's cascading on you all the time. You can't get away from certain attitudes, from certain modes of behavior that this town and the industry dictate. And no matter how strong you are, when you come in off the farm with those convictions and those and a certain line of attack, no matter how strong you are going to be affected by this place.
No,
it's going to divert you from where you were going.
Sure.
You're going to be diverted.
Yeah, you're going to be diverted. Because if you don't play their game, they will make perfectly sure that they'll try and fuck you up in every way, shape, and form. The disappointment I had with Mel, I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious to most people, is that he copped out. When he said that the Jews were the cause of all the wars, rather than copping out what I think he should have done, you know, when he started saying sorry and everything like that, what I think he should have done is just come out. And who knows, maybe I'm being a bit hard on him because I'm not in his position. Okay, sure. That could be true. But where I stand at the moment, he should have come out with his millions and he should have said, I'm going to make a film about every one of you cretins. I don't need your studios. I'll build my own studios. Once I build that studio, I'm going to show you I'm going to show every soul on this planet what you Jews are all about. I want to make perfectly sure the world knows what you're doing. And that way we could have dealt with them swiftly afterwards. Because the world would have allowed it. It would have come to that point where Israel would have been divorced. Where Judaism would have been divorced. They would not be allowed to have a part of white Western civilization at all. We would have dealt with them swiftly. Whether it be dump them off on a fucking island and let them parasite and leech off each other the way they've been doing to us for so long. The Rothschilds make no bones about it. They know that they've leached off us for so long through their banking systems. The Rockefellers, the Morgans, right? Eddie Bernays and his family, Sigmund Freud, right? Some people call him Sigmund Freud, not me, Sigmund Freud. All of these pedophiles and everything that comes with these elite banking, cock-sucking motherfuckers, look, if there is such things such as a god and a devil, I'm telling you, they're, I would hope, going to burn in the pits of fucking hell through the longest of tortures for what they've done to humanity. Plain and simply. Let's get to the next one here. What are we? We're 38. Okay, 38 past the hour. Here's where he starts talking about Hollyweird.
When I came over here, I was, oh God, I was in my mid-20s.
Right.
The first time I really came over here. You know, I had a whole bunch of weird paranoid suspicions about what the hell was going on because there was a lot of stuff I couldn't understand.
Right.
And nobody was really bothering to explain it to me.
They don't.
And I formed a bunch of opinions about the town and about the people in it. That were like, surely that couldn't be, because a whole place can't be like, you know, weird town, you know, where the stranger wanders in and all the people are in the bar and they all shut up when he looks at them and they tell you don't go out of the house on the hill, and it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And And then you go away and you think, no, that's, I was wrong. I mean, that's insane thinking. I'm paranoid.
See, he's really sort of overstepping his bounds now, even so. And I'm sure he knows it. But he's just being careful with how he words it, and he's not going to use names. But I absolutely understand what he's talking about. You know, when you do walk into the bar and then everyone just goes quiet and they all look at you? You're the stranger from out of town. And then occasionally one or two of them might walk up and say, hey, how you going? You must be new around here. You don't look like one of us. You've got shit on your shoes. You're this, you're that. Which is quite charming, by the way, because you're very different to us and we like to get to know new people and rah, rah, rah. But by the way, don't go up in the house on the hill because this goes on. Pedophile rings, fucking murder, sacrifice, whatever you want to call it. I call it murder. All of this shit goes on up there. And then if you can use imagination as I can, you would think to yourself, holy shit, no, that can't be right. That person I've heard about in Hollywood for years, you know, Steven Spielberg and, you know, all of these different producers and directors, Charlie Sheen and shit like that, you know, Charlie Sheen could not have possibly molested a kid. No. Because they're all good people. They're actors. They must be good people. Right? So, you know, then you take a listen to what's going on with the two Coreys. You know, Corey Haim, the poor bastard, ended up overdosed. I think it was a disease that killed him in the end, wasn't it? I can't remember. It's not relevant to me, aside from the fact that I'm pretty sure the drugs had something to do with it. And no wonder he was on drugs. But the two Coreys come out and they start talking about it. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? There's no way this could possibly be. And this is what Mel had experienced when he came in, and when he was 20 years of age and started doing things like Mad Max, and he started realizing what was happening around him. He's like, no, this can't fucking be. This is so surreal. But oh yeah, slowly and surely that they get to know it.
It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go away and you think, no, I was wrong. I mean, that's insane thinking. I'm paranoid. I imagined that stuff. That couldn't be the reason for why so-and-so was acting like, could it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out later on the track that you are exactly on track
mm-hmm.
with a lot of this stuff. Not specifically on track, but that you could... that some of your worst nightmares were real at the time, and you think, Now this is what I mean by actually starting to swim up or downstream with the rest of the salmon, you know, eventually, if you stay here long enough.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself doing that.
That's scary, where you start swimming upstream, up or downstream with the rest of the salmon, because you've been put in it. Not necessarily, I'm not saying that Mel has molested a child, I don't think that at all. He's, for what I understand, he's a good man. He lived here in Australia for quite a while. I know people that have met him. I don't think he's one of them. But he'll swim upstream and shut up just to go along with being able to do what he needs to do. In the meantime, some of those salmon are molestering salmon. And he'll just sort of swim upstream alongside them because he's become entwined, I guess you could say. He's been caught in a net. And this is why he obviously ended up apologizing after he said the Jews are the cause of all the wars. He was saying what he was really saying, he was saying what he's really thinking, but he knows that he's been entwined in that net, so he has to apologize. I'm just hoping, and I really do hope, that he's behind the scenes somewhere, slowly making a film about what's really going on in this world, and they just don't know. I hope that he's doing something like that. I do know that there's other people out there. For instance, Corey Feldman, like I said, he's trying to save enough cash to... and he's not poor, but when it comes to near creating your own studio, he's going to need as much money as he can possibly get. So he's trying to raise some cash to finally blow this out of the water. There was a comment made at one stage, why doesn't he just come out and say it? And I agree with that. I don't know why he's doing that. I guess it's because he wants to articulate it in a way where if he's going to get killed for this, he wants every detail to come out. And if you're on a show such as, let's say, Ellen DeGeneres or Oprah, they'll give you, you know, let's say 20 minutes on the show to talk about what you're talking about, but it's not going to do as good as what a movie can do. If he can sit down and write it, he can hire writers, He can hire directors. He can hire producers. He can hire all of these different people and the actors and all of that. You can put a lot more detail in that way. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt at the present time and hope that he's not just doing this, out of just, you know, making some more cash. But see, that doesn't make any sense anyway, because he's got a lot of cash. You know, the guy's a millionaire. So, there's no reason he would do it. At the moment, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think part of that is because I want this shit exposed as well. So that's all I can do is give him the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully he comes through. He does a very detailed documentary about what's happened to Mel Gibson, rah, rah, rah. And hopefully Mel will be a part of it. Who knows? They might partner up with this.
What am I doing?
More to come.
Attacking to myself.
Look, I must have a star on my door.
Or better still.
A door, a door, a door.
Swing doors, huh?
Look, 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 okay, doors.
From the Urban Dictionary, postpartum depression. The sense of letdown after your cat, dog, or spouse does not recognize your fart with as much enthusiasm as you were feeling it deserved. I was suffering from postpartum depression when Whiskers only lazily looked up and closed her eyes.
The city
Woolly'sblog.blogspot.com. Get on over and check that out. A lot of great information. Woolly collects a lot of the different alternative show hosts' information and stuff like that. He also has some important posts that you can have a bit of a read and a few pictures here and there to take a look at. Woolly'sblog.blogspot.com.
Yeah, I'm quite frankly sick of all of it, and that's really the main reason why I took this direction with a lot of the material I was putting out, because it's reached such insane levels where just being white, and I think I said this before, just being white is racist.
That's
and
right.
If you say anything that is pro-white, you're automatically some sort of evil Nazi person that wants to gas 60 trillion Jews or something stupid, and I'm sick of it. And so this website, The Daily Slave, it's meant to...
The sound of white Western civilization. Oh yes, oh yes. You can't refute it. You cannot refute the sound of white Western civilization. It's superb. Now, I love that word, superb. It is superb. That's what it is. Playing a clip with Mel Gibson talking to somebody who's interviewing. I never remember this guy's name that was interviewing him. I did see the video. Forgot his name. Anyway, the thing I'm getting to here is where Mel is making all the sense in the world. He's not using names and he's being somewhat almost convoluted about it because he has to be. But nonetheless, he... is getting the message out there. And for those of, you know, there's an interesting comment in the chat room saying that, you know, most of the sheeple, if you will, the people that have become dumbed down to what's really going on in Hollywood and everything like that, most of the people that are out there, you know, the bimbos and the douchebags that sit there and watch their movies without even fathoming that possibly whoever it was that made the movie is a pedophile. Because they're too stupid to fathom it. Well, that's where these shows come in handy, because you're not just hearing from Mel, you're hearing my take on it. and where he's coming from and where what we've studied as well. Like, the reason I come to the conclusions I do with what Mel is saying here, whilst I'm commenting accordingly, is because I've made perfectly sure I go out and educate myself on every level I possibly can. And I mean that in the literal sense, every level I possibly can. I can't always possibly do certain things to educate myself, but there's other things I can possibly do. And that's all we ask. Here on these broadcasts, all we ask is that you go out and do whatever is possible to you. Let's listen.
And you have to... There's a way of doing it without doing it.
Mm.
That takes time.
Mm.
And it takes relaxation.
Mm. Not being uncomfortable about...
Not being uncomfortable. Realizing it for what it is.
Projecting.
Understanding what it is. Once you understand it, well, then you're not afraid of it anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can just walk around it and through it. And then get on with what you tried to get on with in the first place. A place like this can humiliate you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be... It can humiliate you, it can be humbling. I mean, it does rip your life to pieces.
Does it?
If you'll let it.
Yeah.
And it's always pounding at the walls. It's these little guys, these little heathens with no soul downstairs with horns on their head with a battering ram trying to, like, beat your walls in.
Yeah.
But that's your own devils, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as a matter of interest, do you think it's easier because you're an outsider who came in?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because... It was glaring to me because I was an outsider who came in. But who isn't an outsider coming into this?
Yeah. Who isn't an outsider coming into this sort of thing, as he said there. Up next, I'm going to play a clip from Mickey Rourke. As you can see, throughout the week, I've been really busy putting this one together. But I'm going to play a clip where somebody approached Mickey Rourke with a camera and asked him what... he thinks, because he likes Mel. Mickey Rourke likes Mel Gibson. Mickey Rourke's one of my favorite people, and I know a lot of people frown at that. He's a boxer. I'm a boxer. He understands the politics. The only thing I have against him is this whole nigger love he has for people like 50 Cent. You know, when one of the Coolio boys went out and waxed 50 Cent, he said at one stage when somebody approached him, I'll have words with anybody. In fact, you tell them to come and see me if they have something negative to say about 50 Cent. Now, albeit that I do know Mickey Rourke would wipe the slate clean with me, because not only is he heavyweight compared to me, I'm wiry weight. I can fight. I'm not going to lie. I can fight like a motherfucker. But the thing is, there would be no winning against Mickey. He's more experienced. He's huge, right? Compared to me, so I don't lie to myself, but I would still be one to challenge him on the 50 Cent thing. I would say, look, I will say something about 50 Cent, because the guy was a piece of shit, Mickey. Come on. Don't fool yourself. He was a piece of shit. Just because he did some nice things for you, and he did some nice things for other people, he was into the whole gang warfare thing. You know, there's a reason Coolio waxed his ass. You know, somebody like Coolio doesn't go out of their way to fucking wax his ass, or one of the boys from Coolio, to wax his ass if he didn't do anything wrong. All right? Even the niggers have a code. All right? There's a code between the gang warfare type niggers. I'm not talking about your dumb shit nigger on the street that'll just shoot someone for $50, which is most of them. But even in the gang warfare, there's some form of street code that they tend to maintain, whether we like to think so or not. There's nothing intelligent about it. But the fact is, Mickey, he was a piece of shit. And, you know, if you have to beat the crap out of me in the ring, I'll happily take the challenge. I'll happily be there to stand in the ring. And at least then you know that I have integrity. At least then you know that I stand by what I say, because someone your size that I would have to come up against is really making a statement, right? But I stand by Mickey in many ways. Number one, he was a fucking fantastic actor. Number two, he stands by his integrity. He's a pretty much a street-type bloke. He went against Hollywood at one stage, but just like Mel, he backed down. But this is what helps Mickey understand what Mel really was. Mel got persecuted and shot down because of what he said about the Jews. Mickey knows exactly what's going on because they shot him down early on in his movie life and he ended up going broke. So he thought, look, I'm going to have to, in my own way, swallow my pride, swallow my muscles in some ways, and say, right, I fucked up. I want to become a part of Hollywood again because I need money. Have a listen to what Mickey says to this young lad that asks him the question about Mel.
Mickey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Doing well, man. So, Mel Gibson recently premiered his new movie, Hacksaw Ridge, at the Venice Film Festival, and it got a standing ovation, huge reviews, really great. Is Hollywood finally beginning to welcome Mel back into their good graces?
I mean, Mel's so talented, and he's a talented actor, and he's a great f***ing director. I'm not, when you say he got a standing ovation and rave reviews, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's made some of the best movies in the last 30 years. What's the one he made about the natives?
Apocalypto.
Yeah, I think I've seen that 15 f***ing times, you know. I mean, are they going to accept him back again? You don't know. It's a very fickle town. It's a town built on envy. And,
what, can I ask, like, why now? Why do you think
it's always been that way, you know?
Okay, but, like, why now? Why do you think it took so many years? And then, like, finally, you know...
When they put the X on you, you know, they put the X on you, you know?
They put the hex on you. Hear what he's saying? Listen to the words he's using. And I don't think he's just using that in slang. You know how sometimes we say, oh, that person put the hex on someone else as if to bring him bad luck or something like that? As a almost like a facetious type term. I don't think when they want to come across like they're using it facetiously, but I don't think they're actually, I think they, what I really think is they mean what they're saying. That they put the hex on you. That these Jewish cronies try their best to use ritualistic value to bring people down when they go against their kind, quote unquote, or their kind in parentheses, right? Parentheses, parentheses, parentheses. Their kind, parentheses, parentheses, parentheses. So when Mickey starts talking about how, you know, they put the hex on him, I think he's meaning it in the literal sense, but he must say it facetiously because he knows that this is going to end up in the open.
It's always been that way, you know.
Okay, but like, why now? Why do you think it took so many years? And then, like, finally, you know...
When they put the X on you, you know, they put the f***ing X on you, you know. Hopefully his talent will prevail because talent always overcomes all the other bullshit, you know. You look what happened with Marlon Brando. He had the screen test for The Godfather, you know. This one or that one, but it's like, you know, it's like these days they can't wait to jump on Sean Penn, as talented as he is, because it's a business built on mediocrity.
What about Sean Penn do people jump on?
Just because he's his own man, you know.
Oh, okay. And so if Mel asked you to be one of his movies, you'd hop to it?
I wouldn't even want to get paid, absolutely.
You wouldn't even want to get paid?
I'd be honored, yeah.
Okay, right. Cool. Hey, thanks, Mickey.
Right. Yeah, so... He was saying that even Sean, they'd jump on Sean Penn's shit just because he's his own man. And you're not allowed to be your own man in Hollywood. It's like the small town syndrome. The small town I live in now, like I was talking about how, you know, you say one thing here today, tomorrow it's over the other side of the town and everybody fucking knows. And so make perfectly sure that you only say what you want people to know in a very deliberate fashion. Now... This is the same thing. In small towns, if you're going to be your own person, you keep to yourself. Oh, next thing, they're calling you a pedophile. They're calling you a murderer. Oh, he's a possible rapist. He came from out of town. He blew in and no one knows who he is. He keeps to himself. He's not very neighborly. He must be a pedo. He must be a murderer. He must be a rapist. Or maybe he kidnapped something because, you know, the people in small towns have small minds. That philosophy was laughed and scoffed at for quite a while. It was almost cliche. But my mother was right. I have learned that these small towns are full of pricks that have no ambition and no big views to do anything but sit around and gossip and talk shit and make stories up because they have no life. So they have to make a life for themselves by creating gossip. Heading into a third hour.
107.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Obscenity invades every area of our lives, however much we do to try and repel it. Fear of the obscene is expressed in networks of vigilance, such as campaigns for public morality. Legislation about obscenity persists, and calls for its extension are frequent. But the fascination of the forbidden is irresistible, and obscenity can seem the nucleus of English eloquence. The English were once labelled les gardames by the French. Since the 1960s, they have been les fuck-offs. And among the many mentions of English-speaking culture is that snarling expletive, a two-word anthem for the Anglosphere. The Language Wars by Henry Hitchings. WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Aloud, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Top of the second hour, oh, top of the third hour, rather, ladies and gentlemen. Let me not rip myself off. Somebody dropped a photo of Gadsden in the chat room there. Look, don't make fun of him wearing nappies. Come on now. Leave him alone, you bullies. All right, so what happens is, I want to get to some of these other articles here. Something is terribly wrong with the children's clothing line, Carolyn Bosman's. These pedophiles, seriously, there's a clothing line called Carolyn Bosman's. Carolyn Bosman's is a luxury brand for children that is highly praised in its native Belgium and around the fashion world. Popular amongst the children of the rich and famous, i.e. P. Diddy, the brand is described as radical and graphic, quote-unquote, by fashionistas. Indeed, although Carolyn Bosman's creates garments for toddlers and children, it is all about being edgy and fashion-forward. No, it's disgusting. It's pedophilia. However, there's a problem. The article says the world of fashion is sick and twisted. Adding children to the mix is often a recipe for what the hell is wrong with them, quote unquote. A prime example is the children's brand Nunu, which, as seen in my article, Something is Terribly Wrong with Celine Dion's Genderless Clothing Line, is simply revolting. References to child abuse, the sexualization of children, and even all-out Satanism. Sadly, the marketing around Carolyn Bosman sends out the same disturbing vibes. Nearly all of the pictures place children in bizarre, oppressive, and unpleasant contexts in which lots of telling symbolism is added. Adding to the bad vibes, all of the children in their promotional pics appear to be either sad, upset, traumatized, or dead. In short, the brand is a reflection of the occult elite's sickening subculture of preying on children. Here are some examples. Now, it says visitors to the official website of the brand are greeted with a bunch of pics that sum up the brand, mixing children with the weirdness of the fashion world. So they've got this picture of a muscle man standing to the right of a little girl, or to the left if you're looking front on, and some transgender-looking thing holding a chook, or what you Americans call a chicken. A full-grown chicken, and a whole heap of chickens in front. Now, the little girl is standing up in this very revealing little dress on top of what looks like a dryer, a clothes dryer. Now, we scroll down, and the muscle man now has some little child on his shoulder while he's showing his muscles and flexing his muscles. And it says below that the child is held by an oily guy wearing nothing but a Speedo. Now we've got the transgender freak holding the child that's now dressed up as a little doll. A kid dressed in drag, held by a man dressed in drag. Nobody seems to be enjoying this moment. And they've both got eyeshadow drawn tears rolling down their face. All right, to give you an idea. It's really sick stuff. A favorite pastime of the elite is dressing up children as sexy, quote-unquote, fully grown women. And he says, see my article called Desmond is Amazing. And I spoke about that Desmond is Amazing thing not long back. He or she says, I'm not sure who wrote this. There's a little child laying there on a mattress with a sad look on its face, a weird-ass hat and a weird-ass suit and some weird-ass shoes with the chickens roaming around the outside of the child. There's now the same child standing there with plastic all around it for suffocation purposes for what we're looking at here. Now the chickens are stuffed into the dryer and we've got the sad-looking child with one shoe off in some sort of jammies, little jammies, and it says below, the brand loves pics of children who look asleep or drugged or dead. This one's really disturbing. This has got two little girls. It looks to be like one child's lying there dead while still holding onto the leash of a chihuahua. The other child is just looking down at what appears to be a dead child. It says another pic of a child that looks dead. On the children's shirts and pants are the words, eat people. The elite is obsessed with cannibalism. And this is what Mel Gibson was talking about. You can see how I'm tying all these dots together. Yet another pic of a child that looks dead. Was there poison in that cup? So there's a cup in front of the child. These girls look to be coming into their teenage years. There's a cup in front of the child and she looks to be dead. And then there's another one in a nightie with a cup and legs, human legs hanging out of it, right? Whilst this other child is looking down as if the person is dead. The website has a section named Artwork where children are used as props in strange setups. And there's some really disturbing pictures here. This is the world we live in, apparently. I would have had no clue. And the pictures go on and on and on. And some of them are so bad where the girls are just showing their panties. There's a girl sitting on a toilet, a little girl, like a little toddler girl. You know, I would have once asked, what sort of parent allows their child to model in this? But I don't think they're parents. I think they breed them. I think there's just somebody out there, as I was talking not long back on the broadcast, about they breed them for these purposes. Like Oprah, on that Oprah show, right, that I can't fucking stand, but, you know, at least she had that guest on that was a part of a satanic family and was revealing them. Oprah was talking to this girl that said, you know, we had families that just bred these children to be sacrifices. And I think that's what we're seeing here. So when I look at this poor little girl that's sitting on the toilet and having her privacy invaded by some sick, twisted cunt taking her photo, I can't help but think that she was bred for that. She wasn't bred into a loving family. She's bred to be a sacrifice, and in the meantime, they'll just use her for their sick and twisted pedophilic ways. Haven't we woken up yet to what is really going on in this world? I think, fuck, we should have by now. You know, this is disgusting. Here's another article. Fast and the Furious. The Fast and the Furious director accused of molesting transgender daughter when she was a toddler. He used my body for his own sexual gratification. The Fast and the Furious director's transgender daughter, 32, accuses her father of molesting her when she was just 2 years old and claims he would tell her stories of raping women. Now, I'm no fan of transgender at all. I think it's one of the perverse motherfucking things on the face of the planet. But maybe this poor freak became transgender because of what this dirty Jew did. The transgender daughter of Rob Cohen is claiming she was sexually assaulted by her film director father as a two-year-old. Cohen's eldest child, who was born Kyle Cohen and is now named Valkyrie Weather, made the accusations in a public Facebook post on Thursday. When I was very young, Rob used my body for his own sexual gratification. My mother witnessed one of the assaults when I was between 2 and 2.5 years old and has since confirmed what she saw. This fact has cost me more than I could ever convey here. He wrote. It says she wrote, but it's a he. You can tell a mile away. There's no way you can... Look, seldom will you ever see a bloke that can become a woman. That's a bloke right there. But, of course, it calls itself a she. Now, there's a big chance that it's the perverted father probably can... You know, he's done mental damage to this person, and this is why it's doing what it's doing. Let's see. Weather went on to accuse her father of raping at least one other woman in her sleep and said he had told her the story as an anecdote. Weather wrote how her father would take her in her early teens before her transition to see sex workers in Thailand and the Czech Republic. She said, or he said, that she has been... Yeah, okay. He said that he has been inspired to speak out thanks to the Me Too movement and because of therapy and support from loved ones. While Rob will in all likelihood escape criminal justice, I demand that my story be heard. I am not seeking financial restitution, nor do I have a career to promote. My greatest hope is that others who have been hurt by Rob Cohen feel that they are able to come forward as well. So there you go. Yet another kitty diddler from Jew Hollywood. Now, and don't you dare write to me and say, oh, Hollywood ain't Jewish. The Jews themselves admit it. All right? I can send you mountains of fucking information. We could start with Manny Friedman that freely admits that Jews do run Hollywood. So don't you fucking dare. Let's see here. Oh, you're going to love this. Too white to be a copper. Graduate 25 who wanted to follow in his detective father's footsteps was turned down by the police because he isn't disabled, gay, or black. The son of a police chief who tried to join his father's force was rejected for being a white heterosexual male without a disability. Matthew Furlong, 25, had applied for his dream job as a constable with Cheshire Police, where his father, Liam, 52, is a detective inspector. He performed well in his tests and at interview... But the force was so desperate for more recruits from ethnic minorities or who were gay or transgender that it refused to hire him. Now, this is the whole, let me just double click that one there. This is the, whole affirmative action bullshit. That, you know, well, guess what? We need to hire gays and we need to hire blacks and we need to hire women and we need to hire retards and all of this other shit. And if you're not one of those, I'm sorry, you don't get the job. Mr. Furlong, who has a degree in particle physics from Lancaster University, lodged a discrimination claim against Cheshire Police under equality legislation and won. That's good news. It is believed to be the first successful case of its kind, of course, because the only cases that usually win are those that are a part of affirmative action, like blacks, gays, and all of that. In a ruling last week, a judge criticised the force for treating candidates with protected characteristics, including those who were gay, transgender, disabled, black or from other ethnic minorities, more favourably than Mr. Furlong, who was a white heterosexual male without disability. A tilt of the hat to this judge. Mr. Furlong of Frodsham, Cheshire, declined to comment, but his father said, "I've tried not to get involved. It is such a political hot potato." The chief constable is big on diversity, which is quite right, but it has to be applied within the letter of the law, and they didn't do that. Right? Now, it's a shame that he's big on diversity, because diversity is nothing more nor less than a political fuck-up. The case came as the leader of Britain's police chiefs called yesterday for radical laws to allow police to positively discriminate in favour of ethnic minority candidates. It's just un-fucking-believable. I cannot believe where our world has gone. And what I can't believe even more so is that people go along with it. People say, oh, well, you know, that's the right thing to do because the media said so. And then there's some people out there, but I don't believe that. I believe it's the right thing to do because that's what I believe. Yeah, whatever, you brain-dirtied fucking moron. Jump off a cliff like the rest of the fucking lemmings. For God's sakes, do me a favour. Jump off a cliff. See it over there? Yep. Ooh, see you later. I would not shed a fucking tear for your dumb ass. English woman spared jail for racism after calling PC sheepshank. This is great. An English woman has been spared jail for racism after calling a police person a sheep-shagging cunt. Oh, boy. English woman, here we go. A fairground worker has been convicted of racism for calling a Welsh PC a sheep-shagger. Jodie Taylor, 23, flew into a rage after officers were called to break up a drunken fight between carnival stallholders in South Wales. We'll talk about the sheep-shagger comment when we get back. Two's Company, Three's Allowed.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Northeast for Saturday, mostly sunny, areas of smoke and haze in the south, the chance of a thunderstorm near the ranges during the late afternoon and evening. Winds north-northeasterly, 15 to 20 kilometres per hour, tending north-northwesterly in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the early afternoon. Daytime maximum temperatures, 28 to 35. I want my 50 degrees Celsius.
I just wonder what it would be like to be reincarnated as an animal whose species had been so reduced in numbers that it was in danger of extinction. What would be its feelings toward the human species whose population explosion had denied it somewhere to exist? I must confess that I am tempted to ask for reincarnation as a particularly deadly virus. This was your very own Prince Poofda Philip. Ladies and gentlemen. Company 3's Allowed, yeah, talking about this young lady, quite an attractive young lady, in fact. It's a pity that she's out on the drugs and everything like that. But, yeah, she had a bit of fun with a policewoman. A court heard Taylor said to the woman police officer, "I'm English, I'm not a sheep-shagging cunt like you." Now, I don't know if you how much slang you know from Australia and England, of course, over there in America, but shagging is fucking, right? So she's called her a sheep-shagging cunt. Taylor of Taunton, Somerset, then sunk her teeth into the officer's arm, leaving a one-inch wound. Prosecutor Ian Ibrahim said officers found a drunk Taylor outside caravans at Neath Sports Centre ahead of the annual Neath Carnival and Fair on July 11. She was shouting and screaming that she would walk back to England, the court heard. At the time, Taylor was already subject to a community order for racially abusing Muslim officers in Southampton, Hampshire. This is where it gets real fun. Taylor has three previous convictions for five offences, including for burglary, possession of amphetamine, and racially aggravated public order. The racially aggravated offence relates to her calling police officers in Southampton dirty Muslim twats and telling them to keep your dirty Muslim hands away from me after being arrested. Now, let's all say it together. The only way to be absolutely free in such an unfree world is... Sorry, let me do it again. Let me do it again. I fucked that up. The only way to be free in such an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. Albert Camus. She is my kind of Albert Camus rebellion. She's way too young though. She's old enough to be near on be my daughter, so I wouldn't go near her with a 10-foot barge pole. But she's really got this rebellion going on, and I think she's going to grow into it even more. Aside from the amphetamine, she needs to stay away from that shit. She admitted inflicting racially aggravated, actually bodily harm at Swansea Crown Court for the incident in Wales, but was spared jail because of the previous court order. Nicola Powell, for Taylor, said she was cooperating with probation on her existing community order, and the probation service felt it would be beneficial for the defendant to be allowed to continue that positive work. Judge Keith Thomas handed her an 8-month jail term suspended for 18 months and ordered her to complete a rehabilitation course. Of course they did. You know, far be it from her to stand up for herself. I wouldn't want Muslim hands on me either. You know, come on now. All right. Ah! Now, for those of you that have been listening to my broadcast for a long time, especially those since the Oracle days, you know that I'm very good friends with Paul Tapetti, the lead singer of Poker Face. And what happens is, I stay with him and his family, like I've been saying, over there in, hang on a second, let me get it right. Shit, I always do this. I'm going to say one, and I'm going to get it wrong, and then I'll remind myself of what it was. Pennsylvania! No, I got it right this time. Pennsylvania. See, I almost said Philadelphia. I get the two confused. What happens is, on the Colbert report, Colbert thought that he might find it clever to try and mock Paulie and the boys over there at Poker Face. Which they will never do. Paulie is as hardcore as they come. You know, you fuck around with him, he'll fuck around with you. You want to try and mock him out, he'll mock you out 10 times better. So, it was a failed attempt, but, have a listen to this. This is, the douchebag, Colbert, didn't even get his name right. He said Tom Tapetti instead of Paul Tapetti. Have a listen to this shit. It's unreal. Where is it? There we go.
Nation. It's clear President Obama
that's not it.
Is...
That's the wrong player. Why is it opening in that? Sorry about this. Just bear with me. Here we... No. Well, fuck me. Okay. I'm just going to have to pump it up that way. It's a WMV. Shitty. WMV's a failed codec.
Nation, it's clear President Obama is not committed to the war on terror. Terrorists are all around us, and we don't know who they are. So far, we've been lucky to stop the Times Square bomber and the underwear bomber when their plots failed. But it's only a matter of time before terrorists acquire non-idiot technology. Now, luckily, there's a way we can identify terrorists before it's too late.
I'm just going to forward this to the area.
Plus, at the Knob Creek machine gun shoot, there's vendors selling militia handbooks and Nazi paraphernalia. With prices so low, every day's a white sale. Unfortunately, this harmless gathering of weapons enthusiasts has been marred by speeches advocating the overthrow of the government. For example, in April 2010, the not-at-all anti-Semitic Christian patriot metal band Poker Face played Knob Creek, and the band's lead singer, Tom Tapetti, declared, "Obama is basically the exclamation point on the globalist takeover of the United States. Too many of us are waking up and too many of us are heavily armed. They are going to push and we are going to shove back. The second American Revolution will commence." Scary stuff. And by Rand Paul's logic, anyone there to hear them should be arrested.
There we go. Anyone there to hear from Paul Tapetti. Not Tom Tapetti, you fucking idiot, Colbert. You can't even get that right. That's how intelligent you fucking are. You don't even know his fucking name. In other words, he hasn't even looked into Poker Face to know that what he's reading from that screen is true or what. Because he doesn't even know the guy's name. Tom Tapetti, what a fucking insult. You'll have some respect. We'll make you have respect. We will force respect into you, piece of shit. But yeah, there you go. See, We're being heard. It doesn't matter whether it's Poker Face. It doesn't matter whether it's WTFR. We know we're being heard. They're just trying to keep us under lock, stock, and barrel in some ways. As in, like, keep them quiet. Just don't mention them on the mainstream media, because if we do, then people get recognised. Now, I'm pretty sure that they sort of made a mistake there with mentioning Paulie and the Boys, because people would have gone out to look at Poker Face to see what it's about. You know, there's even negative feedback is good feedback. Now, before we come to the next break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually play a song that I think you're going to enjoy. Do you remember the song that I played not so long back about the baby boomers? There's a young lad that does these songs, you know, like Hallelujah, I'm a Boomer. Well, he's not long ago done another one. Have a listen to this. I think you're going to enjoy it. We need to inject a little bit of humor here once in a while so we can let our hair down.
Detectives have arrested 56-year-old David Haddad for a string of anti-Semitic messages here in Brooklyn and in Manhattan. Now, my police sources are telling me that he's also the prime suspect in a rash of swastika incidents and a phone threat made here in Midwood over the weekend. And what's surprising here, police say Haddad is Jewish.
Hey, Rabbi, what you doing? Friends, I'd like to tell you of a time not long ago, as I roved out one evening along that dusty road. I spied a black church vandalized. Now what was I to do? To see the culprit, none other than, well, you know who. Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? What news you trying to skew? Oh, is it any wonder this whole world can't stand you? Hey, Rabbi, what you do? Both black and white you screw. And we don't want your story, so don't tell us what to do. I'll tell you all a little tale about a famous boy, a citizen of Israel that tried to play the goy. A string of threats he made in jest, but now the joke's on you. 'Cause we don't buy your lies no more, or the shit that you push through. Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? What news you trying to skew? Oh, is it any wonder this whole world don't want you? Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? Both black and white you screw. So don't feed us 6 million lies or tell us what to do.
Our community is shocked and outraged that the suspect is Jewish.
Fake hate crimes are abound now, from Maine to Michigan. At your town hall and shopping mall, with many more to come. Percentage-wise, you may find how many are untrue. So peel back the lid and spot the yid. Hey, Rabbi, is that you? Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? What news you trying to skew? Oh, is it any wonder this whole world don't like you? Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? Both black and white you screw. So we don't buy your story, so don't tell us what to do. Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? What news you trying to skew? Oh, is it any wonder this whole world can't stand you? Hey, Rabbi, what'd you do? With black and white you screw. And we don't want your story, so don't tell us what to do. And we don't want your story, so don't tell us what to do.
How can you say it wasn't a lie? It wasn't true, and you know it's not true.
Yes, it's not true, but in my imagination, it was true.
Jimmy and I reported on that back in the day on Oracle. It was 2009, and we played that Jew that was saying, yes, the young lady used to bring me... He was on Oprah. This is how dumb Oprah is as well. She just invites people on that she's not even studied. Yes, this young lady would bring me apples and bread through the fence. And I straight away thought, how is that possible? You're in a so-called Holocaust concentration camp. You went near a fence that led to the outside of the camp and you didn't get fucking shot. How is that even possible? And I was only a teenager when I thought this shit. And she gave me apples. And now we are married because of this. And then, of course, it was found out to be a hoax. So then in the end, he goes, yes, it wasn't true. You know, he lied. But in my imagination, it was true. The wife refused to go back onto Oprah after that happened. He went back, but she didn't. Go figure. Kikes. Lying, dirty, filthy, pieces of shit scorpions that will sting the frog. We'll be back.
Sean, there's something in the backyard.
What is it? Is it supposed to be there?
No.
Well, then shoot it.
Hey, Sean.
What?
It was an abo.
Oh, shit. Well, bury it.
You are listening to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, aka TCTA. You can find this show live every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. here in Australia, which is 10 p.m. over there in the United States, EST. So grab your favourite beverage, pull up a pew, and get ready for some racist radio. TCTAUnleashed.com.
There was a stage, two red lights and a dodgy PA. Trod the planks way back then, and it's strange that you're here again. And I wish I knew the right words to make you feel better. Walk out of this place.
Victorian firefighters are battling a number of out-of-control bushfires burning in the Bunyip State Park and further east at Dargo. Hot weather conditions are contributing to unpredictable fire behaviour, emergency officials said, causing the flames to spread in many directions. There are three main blazes in the Bunyip State Park, two in the north of the park and another in the south. Don't leave it too late to get out if you have to, ladies and gentlemen. You can always get another house, but you can't get another life. Get out now.
So did you hear about the MAGA hat attack? Some young lad walks into a pub and this chick walks up to him and tries to grab the hat off him, you know, starts sort of slapping him about a little bit. And what happens? Well, let's have a listen.
The altercation happened at Casa Vallarta, a Mexican restaurant on Route 28. The guy with the MAGA hat was sitting at the bar with two friends, and you can see for yourself what happened next.
See this right here? This is the problem.
That's 23-year-old Brighton Turner of Mashpee, seated at the bar. The woman behind him is 41-year-old Rosiane Santos of East Falmouth.
That's the problem. It's the problem with America these days. People are just ignorant. They want to lash out on people who are educated.
According to the police report, Turner told officers he was minding his own business when Rosiane began to verbally assault him due to his Make America Great Again hat.
Not just verbally assault him, she actually physically grabs him at one stage.
Did the guy in the MAGA hat say anything to provoke her?
No, he just walked in and ordered his food.
As Falmouth police were escorting Rosiane out of the restaurant, bartender Gio Macario says she took another swipe at Turner.
She just tried to grab my hand in front of four officers. Not smart.
I couldn't imagine somebody just coming up to somebody and hitting them, right, when there's cops everywhere.
They showed us the video today, and I was really surprised about his restraint in the whole situation.
I was too. I was surprised with his restraint. You see, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure it's the same in the United States where it is here in Australia. If somebody lashes out at you, you've then got a right to defend yourself. So he, by all rights, had the right to stand up and smash a one in the mouth and say, don't you fucking touch me or I have to defend myself, right? And I just did. But the thing is, she first starts verbally abusing him. She tries to grab his hat at one stage. Then she lashes out again. That's when he should have turned around and just gone, bam. And to all of you that go, you should never hit a woman, she's not a woman, okay? The moment they decide to act like a man, they're a man. Done. Plain and simply. Back in my nans and pa's day, men were men and ladies were ladies. But these days, it seems that ladies want their cake and eat it too. Right? No, sorry, not ladies. Let me rephrase that. That the feminist wants their cake and eat it too. A lady will always be a lady. All right, ladies, the feminine that are ladies, I am not against them at all. But the feminist that wants the cake and eat it too, and they lash out, guess what? I'm going to drop you where you stand. I don't give a fuck if you have a vagina. If you think that vagina gives you some sort of form of right to do what do what you're doing, as in trying to take a swipe at me, you've got another fucking thing coming. Right? I'll kick you in that vagina, as if you got a pair of balls. Yep. If you want to act like a man, I will kick you right in that vagina. Don't take a swipe at me and I won't take a swipe at you, plain and simply. It's not rocket science. So this is the same goes for you blokes. If you're going to hit a woman in the household or outside the household and she swings back at you, it's your own fucking fault. You see, if you want to get verbal and scream at each other because you're frustrated and shit like that, that's all well and good. But if one of you, just even one of you, lash out, then what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Plain and simply. Ladies, you want to act like a man? Then you're no longer a lady, as far as I'm concerned. Your ladyship becomes forfeit at that time. And bam, I will drop you. The same way I will do it with a bloke. If a bloke comes up to me and tries to hit me, I'm going to defend myself. Well, you just keep in mind, I'll do the same to you as well. Again, not rocket science. Don't fuck around, and you won't get fucked with.
And I was really surprised about his restraint in the whole situation.
There are two sides to every story, and we got Rosianis by phone. She says she's a Brazilian immigrant, and although she regrets her actions, she claims she was provoked.
I had a little bit to drink. Maybe that's the reason that I couldn't walk away. But being discriminated for so many times in my life, I just had to stand up for myself. He's not a...
Oh, okay. So she says, yeah, okay, I had a bit to drink, so maybe that's why I couldn't restrain myself. Okay, so she's admitted her guilt. Cool. But then she says, but I've been discriminated against in so many times in my life. You know, she's trying to make out that she has the right to do so. No. Throw this bitch's ass in jail, plain and simply.
Regrets her actions. She claims she was provoked.
I had a little bit to drink. Maybe that's the reason that I couldn't walk away. But being discriminated for so many times in my life, I just had to stand up for myself. He's not a victim. I am the victim. I have been bullied.
I am the victim.
Rosiane Santos has been charged with assault and battery and disorderly conduct. Brighton Turner declined to speak with us on camera, but he did give us permission to air his video. Reporting in Falmouth, I'm Ted Daniel, Boston 25 News.
Now, when you're looking at the video, you should see the smug look on her face when she walks up to grab the lad, right? And he just very calm, cool, and collected. He's looking into the camera and he goes, this is the problem today. This is the problem today. You know, uneducated, dumb shits is pretty much what he was trying to say. And she is. You know, I am the victim. I am the victim. Learn how to speak fucking English first, you stupid git. And if you don't like people wearing MAGA hats, now, some people say, oh, well, it's a Trump thing. So therefore, as long as you've got anything to do with Trump, you're a racist. Well, what happens if it had nothing to do with Trump? What happens if he was just wearing the MAGA hat, make America great again? Almost said Australia there. Same thing, right? We're all in the same state of affairs. But what happens if he's just wearing it because he wants America to be great again? Doesn't matter whether it's Trump or whoever. He just wants America to be great again. But no, uneducated, stupid Brazilian fucking bitch. They show their own colours, don't they? Unreal. Here we go. Here's another feminist thing going on over here in Australia this time from the Australian Bullshit Corporation. As soon as it decides to load. If it's going to load. Here we go. Full throttle Queens. More than bikes, beer and mechanical bull, the Sheila's Shakedown is a lifeline for women who want to ride fast. Warning, this story contains some nudity. The story. There's no pictures of nudity that I know of. I don't think so anyway. But the story contains nudity. Let's have a look there. No, there's nothing nude going on here that I can see. Although, this didn't print out properly, so maybe there is. I don't know. Either way, Tracy Stewart cascades her long blonde hair over one shoulder and sluices the chrome tank of her 74 Motor Guzzi V7 with soapy water. It's like a scene straight out of a 1980s biker magazine, except the bike is hers. The Castle Maine house behind her is stuffed with her biking paraphernalia, books, photos, a wall planner of the rallies and rides she'll attend, often with her husband Mark. One of these events will be an experience like none other. Sheila's Shakedown, a women-only campout, is now in its third year, and Tracy is nervous to be attending for the first time. She wonders if she'll be the oldest there, but thinks the one-hour squirt to Balan might be good for her daughter Cassie. I try to drag her out as much as I can, she says. She's quite shy. Biker stereotypes busted. Here we go, right? Because the women just have to be blokes too. They're not, you know, I don't want to be a woman. I want to be a man. Well, so half of these women in this article look like men too. A bloke on a gleaming Harley on a weekend jaunt has long been dismissed as a midlife crisis, but if there's a common theme among the 250-odd women who will gather for Sheila's Shakedown, it's that buying a bike marked a new era of life. Yeah, I got a pair of balls, motherfucker. For some, like Tracy, it's the kids leaving home. For others, it's a break or getting sober. It opens you up to getting sober. Yeah. You're going to go out with a group of 250 other Sheilas that are all drinking and you're going to go out to get sober. Whatever. Fuck me. It opens you up to amazing friendships, says Sheila's Shakedown organizer, Remy Aloney, 37. If you're going on long rides, you've got each other's lives in your hands. It's such an adrenaline rush, which is something you share. So it's one of those almost out of this world spiritual experiences. And you should see this blokey looking thing just down below. In fact, I think that's a couple of blokes with long hair and tits. Remy found biking at 32 through her then partner. Now, here's the point I want to make. The point I want to make about this is that if we said, now, by the way, they get naked. This has been going for 3 years in a row, and they get naked out there. These girls go out there, they ride, but they get naked and they ride and stuff like that. If it was a bloke-only thing, and we all got naked as blokes, which would make me feel totally unfucking comfortable, I don't know why you would need to be naked on a motorbike. So skinny dipping is one thing. Oh, yeah. You find a secluded area and go skinny dipping. But it's another thing to be out in bikes or just walking around the tents with the old flopper hanging around and, you know, like, oh, here you go, mate. I don't know how these girls don't feel weird walking around with their vaginas and their boobs showing, their big old man-looking boobies. Like, shit, those things, you know, these girls turn a corner and their tits keep going straight. That's the sort of girls I'm talking about here. These aren't feminine women at all. You know, like, who would just want to be naked going riding and naked out near the tents and everything like that? It's disgusting. No way. You know, if I saw a heap of blokes that had their wanger, you know, flopping around in the wind, I'd be the first one to go, hey, put your pants on, you gay fuck. What's wrong with you? What, you want me to see your dick? So don't these women, the so-called women, right? I call them feminists. These are the feminist group. We need our women's space. And we're going to get naked if we want. And you men aren't fucking welcome. Well, hold on a second. If we did that and we said, you know what? We need our man space. And we're going to go. You know, I've even heard people say recently, oh, you know what? He doesn't need his man cave. He doesn't. Well, she's got a sewing room. So why can't he make his garage his man cave? Oh, well, I want half that garage too. Right? And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, this person I'm talking about, half the house is dedicated to fucking sewing. and he's not allowed to have his man cave in the garage. Well, no, that's just not acceptable. Because men aren't allowed to do whatever we don't want them to do. Fuck you already, you feminist cunts. Really. If you're allowed to have your sewing... These girls I'm looking at on the screen, by the way, that these are not the type to sew. They don't have the brain to sew. There's no fucking way. You should see these things. Oh, yeah, no. No, no fucking way. You know, it's one thing for the Harley riders and everything like that. That's one thing. You know, they've got their own code and their own way of... I guess you could say biker group type family, and they've sort of grown up in that thing. But these ones that just are—they're all meant to be mums and daughters and everything like that—that are coming out to get naked in front of each other and fuck off already. Well, I wouldn't want to see that those old cannery weathery boobs. Christ almighty, and look, I wouldn't be invited, but the thing is, how would the other women want to see this? Oh, fuck!
I better still. Swing doors, huh? Lucky
doors. If you happen to be an AM or FM affiliate of the broadcast, whose company 3 is allowed, by all means, let us know at DESSNR@hotmail.com. That's DESSNR@hotmail.com. So that we can mention you by name and or frequency. Please, DESSNR@hotmail.com.
Back in 1973, Dr. William Pierce was talking about the downfall of our planet and politics. I wasn't even born then, I was born in 75. If you want to know what's going on in the world today, then by all means, get on over at 8 o'clock p.m. EST for the United States, which is 12 o'clock AEST over here in Australia. Get over to tctaunleashed.com.
Right.
What makes us different from other people, you know?
Well, I would just I'd also like to mention that that was sort of the Freudian, the whole environmental control philosophy was also purported by Leo Strauss, who was basically the father of neoconservatism.
Yeah.
And basically, what they believed was that in a democracy, they believe that because.
Keep on talking all you want, and you don't waste a minute of time. Absolutely. Freedom Overspill, Stevie Winwood. Get on over to YouTube and have a listen. Freedom Overspill, Stephen Winwood. You know, Freedom Overspill is what I like. In the chat room, we had a little bit of banter going on there about... we had from JB, he says, Men's Sheds Org in Oz is pushing women into it now, for fuck's sake, meaning the whole garage scene. And I said, you know, I wouldn't want to see those, you know, weathered boobs sort of thing. And he says, udders. And then, of course, I said, these are women that belong in the dairy. And JB came back with, farmers wouldn't milk them. You're not wrong. You know, these women that are like, look, we get our women. I'm not joking when I say this. The feminist movement would be outraged if men all of a sudden said, you know what? No, sorry. My wifey, you are not coming with me. If this is a man's area and we're all going to get naked together and we're just going to do whatever the fuck we like and there's nothing you can fucking say about it, up yours. One of those wives would go out and say to one of their feminist friends, if they're not feminist themselves, they would go out to one of their feminist friends and they would say, I can't believe it. He's going out on this motorbike trip without me, and they're all going to get naked, and they're going to get drunk, but without us. Oh, oh. Have a big fucking bitch. And this is what I mean by the difference between the feminine and the feminist. The feminine wouldn't think of it. They'd say, you know what? No, if I'm going to go riding on a motorbike, I'd like to be on the back of my husband's motorbike, hugging him, you know, caressing him as we're riding along, and we'd have an exciting time. Or I'll have my own bike, but I want to be with my husband. The feminist, on the other hand, and again, I'm not talking about the Harley riders. The Harley riders, I know a lot of them. They've been good friends of mine because I've stuck up with them for them on the broadcast for forever. But you don't see these Harley women walking around with their tits hanging out and fucking, look at this. This is all because, oh, woman power. No, they don't. You know what? They're just one and the same with their husband. They're one and the same with their boyfriend. They're not this feminist fucking junky looking idiot with boobs that are, Like, you know what? If one of them had said to me, you know what? We're going on a woman thing and you're not invited. I would have gone, thank fuck. Because if you let those puppies out, I'm out of here, man. I'm Blade. Oh my God. Please put him away. It's like back when Jimmy in 2010, I think it was, when he was talking about these women in singlets. He said, ladies, I know that some of you, like to wear singlets. He said, but some of you just don't need to and shouldn't. You know, when you're like 60 and you're walking down the fucking path and you see this long blonde hair. Sorry, fellas. I've got to do it to you. Long blonde hair and it's a singlet on, and from behind she seems to have an okay figure. But then just as you get past and you're sort of looking and you can see into the singlet, and, oh, it's psycho music type shit. When you see these weathered things that just don't need to see the light of day, they've already seen enough. And I can't go into any more. I'm gonna vomit. No, look, some ladies need to, and especially you feminists, there's a reason quite a few of you are feminists. It's because you're goddamn awful. You're awful in personality. You're awful in mentality. You're awful in looks. That's why some of these big fat ass feminists with glasses on and everything like that. There's a reason. There is a fucking reason that they don't get anybody. And that's why they become feminists. You know, a bloke won't go near it with a 10-foot barge pole. You know, suck down another jelly donut, you feminist bitch. In the meantime, we ain't coming near. And then they're like, oh, men this and men that. Men. Of course, you've got the man in this side as well, where there's some douchebag men out there that hate all women. They don't like the feminine or the feminist. You can understand their side of the feminist, but they don't even like the feminine. Ah, it's fucking bullshit. Now, look. Once upon a time, we were gentlemen and we were ladies. And now, of course, that's taken a back seat. When I'm standing around at a party or in a restaurant or something like that, do I sit there going fuckity fuck 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 like I do on the show? No. It's your choice to listen to the show, whether you be a man or a female. It's your choice. But I don't stand around in front of ladies and talking that way unless, of course, they're okay with it or they do it themselves. So, of course, if there's a... And some people might argue, oh, well, that's not a lady if she swears. No, I disagree. Like I said, Henry Hitchens, The Language Wars. I think to intelligent people, it's irrelevant. Not in front of children and that, meaning if you've got some little child there, I'm not going to start swearing in front of the child, knowing full well that the child's going to parrot that, you know what I mean? Until children get old enough, they really don't understand. But you know what I'm talking about when it comes to the feminine and the feminist? There's a big difference. The feminist, you know, this big bull-dyke looking thing, and these days, you know, it's very hard to find a feminine looking woman. It's very hard to, but it's so easy to see the feminist, especially the haircuts that all these 50 and 60 year old women are getting now, and they dye their hair. It's like, no, sorry, sweetheart. No dice. you're like 50 or 60. You look like a fucking idiot with red or fluorescent green hair. That's what you look like. Most people think it. They're just not saying it to you. All right. They're trying to be nice to you. When they say, oh, your hair looks really great. Then they walk off with their husbands and go, did she really fucking color her hair, red? Or did she really cover her hair fluorescent green? That's just seriously fucking disgusting, you know? So there you go. All right. I had one more clip I had to play, I'm pretty sure, before we get going. Oh, maybe I didn't. Oh, no, I did play that. I've already played that one. Okay. Good stuff. Okay. So, let's have a look here. The Digital Newsreader. Throughout the week, JB put a link in saying, behold the Digital Chinaman Newsreader. Now, I took a look at this, and the first thing that came to mind was when Ravolt had said, you know, if they're out there creating false shootings and stuff like that, even as Steven Seagal, one of the actors, said, if they're out there creating false shooters, then what they can do these days is just create people on the screen that don't even exist. So you're sitting there watching all these children get shot up by these shooters and everything like that. But guess what? Those shooters don't exist, and neither do the kids. This is what we're looking at now. Now, I took a look at the video he put in the chat room of this Chinese newsreader, and by God, ladies and gentlemen, by God, this Chinese newsreader looks so real you cannot tell. He sounds like a human being. He acts like a human being, the way he moves. He looks human, and guess what? He's not. He's digital. So whatever they want to portray on screen, they can. Whatever they want to make you believe on screen, they can now, because you won't know whether it's a real person or not. So let's say they show some footage of somebody that walks up and blows someone else's brains out, and they say, this person was an anti-Semite because he killed a Jew, and his name's Bob Smith, right? And you're sitting there going, holy shit, well, it must be true, because I just saw that right in front of me. Someone must have filmed that. No, it was computer graphics all along. This is what they've been working towards for a long time. And this is something we've got to be careful of. We can be deceived around every corner, whether it be through television, whether it be through church these days, whether it be through schooling, you know, education, even radio. You've got to be careful. This is why I always say, whatever I say here, you go out and research for yourself. Go and look into it for yourself, because I could be bullshitting you. Always do your own research. And I know there's some people out there saying, oh, research. You're a fucktard. You're a lost cause. Your life was done before it began. You're one of these people that I would hope ends up a part of the Darwin Awards. You know, hopefully you stand there typing on your phone as you're trying to cross a street, and a fucking bus runs your stupid, useless eating ass over. You're a useless eater. You're nothing for life. You're shit on feet. You're going to do nothing to help white Western civilization, and you just need to go bye-bye. Yeah, see? I'm not just racist against blacks. I'm racist against me own for dumb fucks. I'm a dumbest. Meaning, I don't like dumb people. Oh, shit. You know what? I'm hoping I don't get hit by a bus, because I know that everybody that listen to this broadcast is going to go, ha! See that? He was talking about people getting hit by a bus. He must have been a dumbass. So I'm a dumbest when I say that he deserved to get his ass fucking run over by a bus. No, it's not going to happen to me. Seriously, unless the bus is aiming, and they might now that I've said this, they might try to make a point. So I'm going to have to keep an eye on the buses around this area. They might be like, fuck him, run him over and say it was an accident. You know. Anyway, you've been listening to Two's Company, Three's Allowed. This was brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio, 107.9 FM, and of course 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York, and a cluster of stations that go mobile, and some that don't. Some that don't want to be mentioned that aren't mobile. But yeah, there we go. All right, I will talk at you again next week. By all means, don't miss it. We're also going to be doing episode 2 of the Cantor Hour between me and Maleficus. Maleficus and I should say. Okay, my good friends, I'll talk to you soon. You stay cool, my white brothers and sisters in arms. Bye-bye now. No, 7.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Well, we're happy, Burton. You've been called out on so many levels. What do you have to say for yourself these days?
Is that all you've got to say for yourself?
I.